£500 of our money in his back pocket, we finally managed to get rid of the paedophile sex offender to Ethiopia, who then gives an interview to Sky News.
My name is Habib Shkwatu. I am national of Ethiopia police. I want the mystic release from Chelmsford prison. Please help me.
What next for this illegal migrant, knowing the BBC probably being lined up for Strictly Come Dancing? In other news...
A Somali migrant who stabbed a man inside a bank in Derby has been jailed for life. I'm LBC's Luke Shanahan with the latest.
Meanwhile, the government keen to tell us that a record number of knives have been taken off the streets. We'll hear from the relevant minister. Back to the future, a call for the return of those Invercars, those blue Invercars. Reform UK MP Lee Anderson.
Back in the day, if you were on disability and you wanted the car from the state, it was a blue three-wheeler. Anybody remember those? What's wrong with that? Let's go back to that.
Yeah, back to the future. Plus, are you sitting comfortably? The night won't begin. The survey that says that parents simply aren't reading to their children at bedtime anymore. All that and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Rachel Reeves has admitted breaking local housing rules by failing to get the correct licence to rent out her family home. But the Prime Minister's decided his Chancellor will not face an investigation after consulting his ethics advisor. LBC's political editor Natasha Clark has more details.
The Chancellor was using a letting agency to let out a home, but she'd been not told that this house was in an area that needed such a licence to rent the property. It was in Southwark. She rented it out after moving into a flat. In Downing Street, of course, after last year's election win. A spokesperson for Miss Rees has said this was an inadvertent mistake. She has now applied for that licence, but the Tory leader has called for a full investigation. She says if the Chancellor broke the law, the Prime Minister must show he has the backbone to act.
President Trump says he's had a 12 out of 10 meeting with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping in South Korea. He says he's agreed to lower tariffs on Chinese goods and that the issue over US access to rare earths has been settled. Mr. Trump's told reporters on Air Force One that the two nations can now sign a trade deal pretty soon.
We have not too many major stumbling blocks. We have a deal. Now every year we'll renegotiate the deal. But I think the deal will go on for a long time.
President Xi says they reached a consensus to resolve major trade issues. An Afghan migrant is due to appear in court charged over a triple stabbing in West London. Safi Darwood, who's 22, is accused of the murder of Wayne Broadhurst and two attempted murders in Uxbridge on Monday. Another man remains in hospital with life-changing injuries and a 14-year-old boy has been discharged. The King says he is deeply concerned by the destruction from Hurricane Melissa. The world's most powerful storm so far this year has left dozens of people dead in the Caribbean. The UK is supporting Jamaica with £2.5 million in emergency humanitarian funding. A study suggests prostate cancer screening can reduce deaths by 13%. Experts are currently assessing whether the UK should introduce such a programme. Researchers say a targeted approach to screening would save lives and also prevent problems from overdiagnosis. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen at 97.56 after closing up 59 points yesterday. The pound buys $1.32 and €1.13. LBC weather, a dry, bright but chilly starts turning cloudy. Cloudier with some rain arriving from the west later and becoming windy, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Simon Conway.
If I get my kid a phone, I'll be able to keep in touch with him all the time.
He'll be on it all the time.
He could walk to school by himself.
She could see something she shouldn't.
He could chat with grandma.
Friends. Trolls.
They can access anything on the internet.
They can access anything on the internet.
So, should I give my kid a phone?
Growing up with phones isn't always easy. Introducing EE Safer Sims. Sims that help moderate usage and shield harmful content on any smartphone. Choose EE Safer Sims. Only on the UK's best network.
To verify best network, see ee.co.uk/claims.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after seven, Thursday, October the 30th. Coming up in this hour, the paedophile sex offender finally, remember the one in, one out deal? Well, we have got one out, but it costs an extra £500 as, really, our border security now just descends into a farce. In other news, pressure on Rachel Reeves. This is, of course, as her nickname is Rachel from accounts, but she doesn't seem to be able to do her own accounts, as it's revealed she illegally rented out her own family home. She's referred herself to an ethics advisor. Do you imagine if you got caught for not paying your tax? I intend to refer myself to my solicitor. Do you honestly think that they would listen to that? They're taking us for fools. But, of course, we have a government, including someone who says he was a solicitor and he wasn't. A housing minister had to quit because she had tenants taken out of her property. We will look through this extraordinary, unravelling bunch of halfwits a little bit later. Staying with money, as you were watching Prime Minister's questions yesterday, you might have seen this. And what a difference 3-odd months makes. Kemi Badenoch putting a question in July.
Labour promised not to increase income tax, not to increase national insurance, and not to increase VAT. Does the Prime Minister still stand by his promises?
Yes.
Which was pretty powerful. But what of yesterday?
Does the Prime Minister still stand by his promises?
Retail sales are higher than expected. Inflation is lower than expected. Growth has been upgraded this year. The budget is on the 26th of November and we will lay out our plans.
Don't know about you, but I preferred the first response. Plus,
there was another huge internet outage yesterday afternoon with tons of services and apps unavailable. And this time it was the fault of Microsoft. What is going on with the internet? I'm LBC's tech correspondent, Will Guyett, and I've been switching it off and on again to find out.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The migrant sex attacker accidentally released from jail was deported with £500 of our money in his back pocket. Hadush Kabatu was offered the sum, which The Sun points out is almost a year's wages in his native Ethiopia. Now, there are different reports here. Some are saying he threatened to block his removal with a last-minute asylum claim. Others said he was going to be deliberately disruptive on the aircraft, therefore making it impossible for him to take off. Whatever it was, and we'll try and get more detail from you, he's given an interview to Sky News, of course he has, in which he claims he tried to hand himself in to police the day before he was arrested but was ignored by officers. Well done to Sky News, by the way, to getting him. Kabatu shared details of his accidental release and the two-day manhunt that followed.
At that time, I am waiting more than 3 hours. Already the time is past. Who can responsible for me? Where is home office? Where is the immigrant? I will tell them, but also all of the experts are ignored me. At that time, somebody, the airport, where is the station? Where is the train station? Someone helped me. I will take the ticket, £18. On the morning, Saturday, I get a police. Look here. Please, I am wanted man. I arrested. I will give you my hand. Please help him. Where is police station? He ignored me. He drive. I am not unknown. The police station, where is the place? I am not Google it, but also I gave the police. I will give you my hand. Please help me. Where is the police station? Take me. I am wanted. You know me, my image. My name is Hadish Kwatu. I am national of Ethiopia police. I want the mistake release from Chelmsford prison. Please help me.
Well, as I told you, he got £500 now for through leaving. Although his trial had heard that it was his firm wish to return to Ethiopia, his compliance with immigration officials deteriorated, and he threatened to launch a legal challenge to his removal, even suggesting he was considering lodging a new asylum claim. £500 was designed to save potential wider costs to the taxpayer. Speaking with my LBC colleague Andrew Marr last night, Migration and Citizenship Minister Mike Tapp explained...
He was provided with £500, you're right. Now, the reason for that is it's an operational decision made on the ground. Now, the reason that this happens is often they're on shared flights with other passengers. And the fact is that if he was to misbehave, then we may well have had to cancel the flight, pull him off, book another, and that would cost the taxpayer £8,000. So it's really important that we get rid of this guy. 500 quid compared to £8,000, and it's an operational decision on the ground at the time. He's gone now. I know it's hard to stomach for all of us, but it means we can get rid of more people quicker so that people are safer, particularly when it comes to foreign national offenders.
Are you buying that use of £500 of our money? Your views and verdicts in a moment. Remember this story tracks all the way back to the Bell Hotel in Epping. And Shane Yerrill is independent councillor for Epping Forest District Council and is spokesperson for the father of Kabatu's 14-year-old victim and joins me now. Councillor, your reaction, the reaction from the family of that payment. Good morning.
Good morning. I think it's shocking. As you said, it's the equivalent to a year's wages for somebody in Ethiopia. It feels very much like he's been rewarded. This is a guy that was here 8 days, carried out a sexual assault on a 14-year-old while she was wearing her school uniform. On the day before, he was trying to chat with the same group as well. So it feels as if he's come over here almost straight away with the intention of sexually assaulting someone or talking to children, because that's what he was doing very early on. And then to find out, I know from speaking to the family that they're hurting as a result of all of this. He's an accidental release. And then to find out he's been rewarded with £500 yesterday, it just adds further insult.
Councillor, what do you make of the government's rationale? £500 today rather than, they claim, £8,000 in weeks to come.
Well, it makes you wonder how much money has been spent keeping him here, really. And I just don't think he should be rewarded with that. As far as I heard yesterday, it's true what you're saying, that he threatened to very much disrupt his deportation. So maybe they've done it, I guess, to get rid of him, which is great, but not. I just don't think a paedophile should be rewarded like that with financial compensation. The family haven't received any compensation. They haven't even received an apology from anybody higher up.
So there's been no contact from the justice system or the prison department to say apologies for what happened to the person involved in your daughter's crime?
The girl's mother received a phone call to say that he'd been accidentally released, and the father has received an apology from a police officer that was in court at the time, but nobody from the justice system or the government. No apologies at all.
But nothing from David Lammy or Shabana Mahmood or even a senior police officer, nothing at all?
Nothing at all, and I've actually personally tried to reach out to David Lammy via email, and I've not had a response either.
All right. Next time I speak with him, I'll mention that. Lastly, of course, the media's moved on a little bit from the Bell Hotel in Epping. You haven't. You're a local councillor. There's a question asked a lot on broadcast media, the mood. What is the mood around that area now, would you say, councillor?
It's very low. A lot of people are feeling angry, upset, deflated. I must say I've attended a couple of the protests and they are very peaceful. At the beginning there was trouble, but it was people from outside the area. They're very peaceful. But right now everybody's just, they're baffled, they're deflated, they very much want answers and they're wondering how this is able to happen. There's been parents even talk about taking their children out of that school that is just a couple of hundred metres away from the Bell Hotel.
Will you give our best wishes to the family? And thank you for your time. Shane Yerrill, your independent councillor for Epping Forest District Council, your spokesperson for the father of Kabatu's 14-year-old victim, 12 after 7. Listening to that, David Wood, who's former Director General of Immigration Enforcement at the Home Office, now Chief Executive of GSA Limited. Mr. Wood, in cases such as these, how much can the officers involved in deportation effectively freelance their decisions? Do they have a certain amount of cash where they can say, right, let's give this bloke 500, 600, 700, and I don't need to refer up? Morning to you.
No, that's unlikely to have happened, Nick. For a start, it's not cash. It has to be a pre-arranged card that the individual can use when he's back to his home country. So there would have had to be some thought ahead of that. So
are they carrying those cards on them? Because I understand it all was kicking off on the plane, or possibly on the tarmac, I don't know.
That sounds unlikely, doesn't it? But no, they wouldn't necessarily be routinely carrying these cards with them. That would have been pre-arranged before they were doing that. I mean, he seems by all accounts to have been very compliant in respect of his removal. As you said, all through the court case, he said he wanted to go home. I understand he told prison officers that. When he's released from prison by accident, he kept going back to the prison saying, well, where do I go? What do I do? And you've just heard what he said on the radio for what that's worth with his interview with Sky News. So he was a compliant individual. I mean, very, very, very unusual. Unusually, they have 5 escorts on the plane. I just don't understand that. I mean, 2 would be the norm. 3, very, very rarely. 5, I don't even understand how 5 could engage if he was disruptive, if you think of the constraints of an aeroplane. But so, no, I mean, what you can understand is why, whilst ministers would not be involved or shouldn't be involved in operational decisions, you could be sure the Home Secretary would have been very quickly involved if it went wrong. So maybe there's some incentive there for the immigration officers to do everything they could to make absolutely sure nothing could go wrong.
Right, you know how this works, obviously, David. If you had a government minister in front of you, what questions would you be asking? I've noted down how we managed to get to five officers instead of two, maybe three, in extremis. What else would you want to know, David?
I want to know, I guess, what involvement the minister had before. I mean, I should think it's very likely the Home Secretary had the senior officials in front of her before, not making the decisions, but saying, can you assure me everything's going right? Can you assure me everything's in place? And perhaps that's understandable, given the publicity it would have followed if things went wrong. So there's those questions. What is the actual policy? I think there would be some flexibility for immigration officers in a pre-arranged situation if they thought it was a very vulnerable individual. But this is not what would be classed as a very vulnerable individual. So I suspect this is wholly exceptional, what happened, in many regards, as I say, with regard to the payment, with regard to the number of escorts. And it is true that if a migrant, and it used to happen very regularly, still does, I'm sure, was disruptive on the flight, it's up to the captain whether they stay on or not. Some captains would say, no, remove him from the flight. There's people paying a lot of money for the holidays to go on this flight and don't need that disruption.
David Wood, grateful for your time. Thanks, David. Former Director General of Immigration Enforcement at the Home Office, now Chief Executive of GSA Limited. How happy are you? 500 quid to a convicted paedophile, so we got him out of the country. Also later in the show,
Sir Keir Starmer has said there's no need for an investigation after the Chancellor Rachel Reeves apologised for breaking housing rules and renting out her family home without a licence. But why? I'm LBC's Natasha Clark with all the details.
7:15, LBC News headlines, now read by Simon Conway.
The Prime Minister's decided Rachel Reeves should not face an investigation despite the Chancellor's admission she broke local housing rules on renting out her family home. Donald Trump says he's agreed to lower tariffs on China after a 90-minute meeting with President Xi. And an Afghan migrant is due in court charged over a triple stabbing in West London. LBC weather, dry and bright to start, then turning wet and windy from the west later, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. No Gatwick Express trains running at all. The entire line is suspended. It's because of some emergency works, which means that southern services are disrupted as well, to and from Victoria and also London Bridge. Greater Anglia and Stansted Express service is also severely disrupted via Tottenham Hale, and that's after a signal failure, which means that Weaver Line services aren't running between Hackney Downs and Chingford. On the M1, very busy going southbound towards Junction 8 at Hemel Hempstead. It's following an accident. Also in Hertfordshire, there are long delays anti-clockwise to Junction 21 at the M1, and that was after an accident that happened earlier. And on the southern stretch of the M25, it's slow clockwise to Junction 1B at Dartford.
LBC.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Booking Hero. On the beach, no dull city breaks. Flippin' heck, I'm gonna have to change the name. On the city? Not sure about that. But you can take your pick from over 50 cities and thousands of hotels. Stop booking around and visit onthebeach.co.uk.
On the beach.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Stayshore. What is Stayshore? Stayshore is not just the UK's favourite travel insurance. Stayshore is the confidence that comes with knowing that you're covered by the company with more five-star reviews on Trustpilot than any other provider. A company that welcomes people of all ages with pre-existing medical conditions for single or multiple trips. So Stayshore with Stayshore Travel Insurance. UK's favourite relates to number of five-star Trustpilot reviews, T's and C's and verifications at stayshore.co.uk/reviews.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging, or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2024 UK and EU Amazon packaging data.
A southern train is a place where you can just switch off, where you have the chance to scroll your feeds as you roll past fields, or simply relax with a podcast, playlist, or power nap. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cyber security from BT. Protecting businesses of all sizes against cyber threats.
19 minutes after 7, this extraordinary farce involving the Ethiopian paedophile. Richard, you'll be the first caller. Quickly through some of the front pages. By the way, if, like me, you weren't able to watch Traitors last night simply because I fell asleep, I didn't get there. For goodness sake, don't look at the front page of The Sun, The Daily Mirror, or The Daily Express. I'll just leave it there. So if you're going to the supermarket, petrol station, newsagent, you might want to try that, Nick, as well. Don't look at those front pages, and I will leave it there. Front pages I am going to talk to you about. The Daily Express goes with the story that we're dealing with. Sex attacker migrant was given £500 to leave Britain. The Daily Mail, this is the Rachel Reeves story we're looking at later in the show. Reeves illegally rented out her own family home. This is an exclusive gain by the Daily Mail. Then the Daily Telegraph. Let's do one other that I can do safely. The picture's all right on the front page of the Daily Telegraph because it is of Rachel Reeves, but not the story about her illegally letting out her home. Rather, the suggestion is you're looking at a 2p income tax rise. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to tire of all these stories because actually nobody knows. And in fairness, I imagine the government haven't locked it down yet either. They will still be working on it. So there's going to be a mansion tax. There's going to be a 1p increase. They're going to scrap the triple lock. There's going to be a 2p increase. Enough already, as they say in the States. Enough already. We don't know. Nobody knows. It's pure conjecture. And we haven't got that long to wait, unfortunately. Ms. Reeves finds herself on the front page of the LBC app. Housing probe not needed because she's referred herself. So remember, next time you get in trouble, whether it might be with the tax authority or local authority, maybe the police, if you instantly say, I'm going to refer myself, that apparently all your problems will melt away. One other one at random on the websites. Let's go to The Independent. They have a series of very distressing pictures from Hurricane Melissa. Having hit, of course, Jamaica, they have pictures from Jamaica. Having hit Cuba, and they have pictures from Cuba. It's now, it says, of course, this would have been printed overnight. Well, it might have been printed more recently, I suppose. On its way, perhaps, to the Bahamas. The speed's come down a bit, but it's still whistling through at around 115 miles an hour. We'll keep a weather eye on that. 7:21, Richard's in Woodford Green. What do you want to say to this Ethiopian farce? Good morning.
Well, morning, Nick. I just think we've completely lost our minds. I think there's kind of three main points here. If we're paying £500 away to people who are effectively criminals, you know, could that money not be, I know it's a small amount of money, but could it not be better spent giving all those small amounts of money back to, you know, ex-servicemen who are on the streets, things like that?
Well, I mean, I have to say, I suppose, what the minister says, look, it's £500 yesterday or £8,000 in weeks to come. How would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say if you're doing it on the basis of operational decisions, which is, I believe, the term he used, £500, do we decide that we're going to start paying people in this country who don't want to go to prison to go to prison? Where does it end? Do we decide that if someone's on the run or something we want to find them, do we start offering them £5,000 because it will cost less money than putting the police force out to look for them?
Richard, don't go. Not everyone agrees with you. John's in Brighton. John, you think it was a good value for money, like yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's a bargain, isn't it? Get him out of the country as easily as possible.
Well, let's bring Richard in.
I think if you were doing it with people who hadn't been convicted, actually, you know, if you were doing it and people who were here illegally but haven't actually been prosecuted and you were offering the money to leave, then that would be good value for money. But you can't pay money to convicted
felons.
Yeah,
but you give money to resettle people, to help criminals when they leave prison and all this sort of thing, offenders and that, to resettle them in homes and that. Yeah, that's just standard, isn't it?
It's standard, but it doesn't mean it's right.
Well, that's what has to be done. You can't just leave him on the streets wandering around. Look at what happened to this guy. He was completely confused. I mean, the whole thing was a mess up by the authorities.
Completely confused, but now he's doing interviews for Sky, which he's probably getting paid
for
as well.
Yeah, but they contacted
him. I honestly don't know. I would be surprised because news organisations don't get in the business of paying criminals, so I don't know. But on you go, John. I just want to get that out there before we have any problems. On you go, John.
Yeah, I think it's a bargain. I mean, Sky was probably contacting him to get a story. They all want to get a story for their...
Do you not... I hear what you say, John, and there is economic logic to what you say, but do you not feel a bit uncomfortable that £500 has found its way into the back pocket of a paedophile?
No, he's just this guy was just confused. He was from a different country. He didn't know the norms.
Hang on. He committed a sexual offence against a 14-year-old girl in a school uniform.
He was confused. He's from a different continent.
You're not defending his actions up there in Epping,
no, the whole thing, he was being treated like a terrorist on a crazy manhunt. Like, you know, he was just completely lost in this country. He didn't know what was going on.
He's not a terrorist, he's a paedophile.
Yeah, I mean, look, the whole thing was just completely blown up. The whole thing was ridiculous.
He is a convicted paedophile.
Yeah, what did he do?
He sexually assaulted a 14-year-old girl.
What did he actually do?
In her school... I'm not going to go into detail. He stroked her thigh. What do you want me to say?
I'm saying that this guy was...
You cannot possibly...
Anyway, forget that. We're talking about the £500. That's a bargain.
All right, OK. All right, John. Thank you, I think. Maybe. Final word to you, Richard.
Here's another point, right? On the £500, what happens when he gets back home? Effectively, the £500 is a year's wages.
I read that, yeah.
So, if he goes back home and starts telling people back home, look, I've gone over, you know, he tells the whole story, I've sexually assaulted someone, they've took me back to the country, and they've paid me a year's wages. Well, that's going to encourage other people to do it, surely.
Richard, thanks for your input. Both of you have a safe day. 7:25, on to other matters, and where there might be doubt about that payment, there's no doubt there's been another global outage, and here with all the details, Will Guy, LBC's technology correspondent. Will, what happened, when and where and why and to whom? Good morning.
Morning to you, Nick. The filing cabinets we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the main name system on the internet, somebody kicked over a different filing cabinet. That's what happened. This time it was one of Microsoft's. So there's about five companies that run the rump of the internet in 2025, and another one has had another huge outage. Not hacking or anything, bad day in the office for somebody. They uploaded an update to the server and broke it, and they had to roll back to another one. But this once again shows you the internet is, you know, using a cliche, a house of cards in 2025. Because if one of these systems goes wrong, you lose, you know, nearly 20% of the internet was out for a couple of hours yesterday afternoon again.
What needs to happen to address this? Because otherwise, you and I are going to be talking on a weekly basis.
Yeah, we will be. And the resilience needs to improve. I'm not jingoistic in any way, shape or form, but these are US companies failing all the time. Maybe we need a company here in the UK or in Europe that could run and manage these services successfully. What essentially has happened is it's the economies of scale. People go to these services because it costs a lot of money to run websites. You don't want a big, floor of servers in a building in East London in 2025. That's a huge amount of money to spend. But there doesn't seem to be any resilience or any backup. And if Terry in Wyoming or wherever he was yesterday pressed the wrong button on his computer and uploaded the wrong file to the server, it takes out, you know, it causes huge trouble because BA was out yesterday afternoon, the NatWest Bank was out, Marks and Spencer's even went down for a while. Oh, so it just shows you how connected. Yeah, how connected we are to all of these services.
Will, thanks as ever. Will Guide, LBC's technology correspondent. I bet you my wife will have ordered another pair of trousers or something like that. They'll be wandering around Teddington. They're never to be found again. Let's come back to our conversation about this Ethiopian paedophile. Let's take some of your messages coming in via text and emails. This comes from Glyn. Is £500 to be deported going to be the norm now? Did some lawyer help get it? No, I think it was a decision made on the aircraft. We are speaking with the government minister later and we'll ask. Same subject. This comes in from Roddy. This wasn't a political decision. It was made by civil servants without any ministerial involvement. It wasn't a government decision. Roddy, come back to me. If I was the Justice Secretary or the Home Secretary dealing with this case, I would have said to the Home Office officials, the police, I want to hear as he gets on the plane. I want to know when he's done his seatbelt up. And I want to hear whether he chooses the chicken or the vegetarian option. I want to know every last spit and cough until that man is airborne. Here is my number. I don't care what time of night or day it is. We are absolutely in a hole here. I want to know everything. I want to know the movie he chooses to watch. Everything. That's how it should have been, but sadly it never is. John's in Orpington. You're on the radio, John. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. First time caller.
Good to have you on. How is Orpington today?
Okay, not too bad.
Gateway
too bad
to Kent. Beautiful part of the world.
So I'm phoning in about this £500.
Absolutely.
To this guy.
Our money, John. That's our money. Yep.
I totally disagree. The guy has obviously committed an offence. He's been found guilty. He wants to go back home. Great. So the first point is, the next person that does something like this, is he going to demand money?
Oh, that's probably a point. What are they going to do then? But so, yep. So someone's on a plane to Libya or Sudan or Ethiopia and they kick off. I want my 500 quid.
Well, it'll probably be more, Nick. So then you've got that. Now, he said he's going to kick up on the plane. What are the five people his escorts doing then?
I don't
know. Have they just got their headphones on and watching the TV or listening to music?
I can't wait to speak to the government minister because there's so many questions to ask about this. Yours is a very good point. Is this going to set what they call it, set a precedent, of course, John?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, hey, you handcuff him.
Yeah.
If he wants to go to the toilet, he goes with the door open or ajar so he can't lock himself in.
Yeah.
If he starts creating, then, you know, there's five guys there.
Yeah.
He's not going to be in row 17. He's going to be right at the back of the plane. Yeah.
Just box him in row 32. No, I get exactly what you're saying. John, first time, first class. Have a good one down in Kent. Be like John. Get it off your chest. Get it on the radio and give me a call on that number. 053? Nah, probably won't wrong about the second number there. No idea. Should we talk money? What a difference 3 months makes. Mrs. Badenoch to Sir Keir Starmer in July.
Labour promised not to increase income tax, not to increase national insurance, and not to increase VAT. Does the Prime Minister still stand by his promises?
Yes.
Mrs. Badenoch to Sir Keir Starmer yesterday.
Does the Prime Minister still stand by his promises?
Retail sales are higher than expected. Inflation is lower than expected. Growth has been upgraded this year. The budget is on the 26th of November and we will lay out our plans.
And as it is revealed, Sir Keir Starmer now is the most unpopular Prime Minister since polling began. So go through Truss, Thatcher, Boris, the whole damn lot of them. And I know I've met him more times than I can show. He's a very decent bloke, but he's just not getting it done, is he? He's really not up to this. We'll look at that in more detail. What does it mean for that budget, which is less than a month away? 7:31. Time for some news headlines. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrar on LBC. The headlines read by Simon Conway.
Rachel Reeves has admitted she didn't get the correct licence to rent out her family home in London after she moved into Downing Street. But Sir Keir Starmer says an investigation into the Chancellor's mistake is not necessary. Donald Trump says he's agreed to lower tariffs on goods arriving in the US from China. The President's described a 90-minute meeting with his counterpart Xi Jinping as a 12 out of 10. Virgin Trains is a step closer to running international services through the Channel Tunnel. A regulator has granted access for the company to share an East London depot with Eurostar in a challenge to its monopoly. LBC weather, a dry, bright but chilly start, turning cloudier with some rain arriving from the west later and becoming windy, a high of 15 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents,
we discuss whether Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer are going to break their manifesto pledges on national insurance, income tax and VAT. What will it mean for them politically?
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Stopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
I always thought it should be me looking after Mum in her golden years. After all she's done for me, I wanted to be the one to support her. But I couldn't be with her all the time, so I contacted Home instead. After their first visit, Mum was over the moon, telling me all about the laughs they'd shared over a cup of tea. And that's when I realised it didn't need to be me looking after Mum, just someone who cares for her like I do. Find out more about award-winning, personalised home care at homeinstead.co.uk.
In a world speeding to make car finance claims, make sure you're in full control. You don't need to go with a claims company and risk losing more than 30% of what you're owed. Put yourself in pole position. Don't rush. Be ready.
Looking to make a claim on your car finance? Get 100% of the facts. Go to fca.org.uk/car finance claims.
Claiming soon.
At Matalan, you can discover the perfect comfort essentials with 20% off all nightwear and underwear across women's, men's and kids. But hurry, this limited time offer won't be around for long. Shop in store today or discover more sizes and styles online at matalan.co.uk. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cyber security from BT. Solutions to help any size business stay protected.
7:34 is the time. Back to our conversation. Cash for the paedophile. That was the way to get him out of the country. Into other money matters. Christian May is editor-in-chief at City AM. Joins me now. Okay, what is the Chinese takeaway we need to read from Donald Trump's visit to the region? Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Quite a romance blossoming in South Korea in the early hours of this morning. President Donald Trump and China's President Xi Jinping met for talks. They met and talked for an hour and a half. Trump said afterwards that Washington's dispute with Beijing over the supply of rare earth metals and materials has been settled, that China would resume buying US soybeans, and that Washington would reduce its tariffs on China. Trump said that if asked to score the meeting out of 10, it was definitely a 12. This sounds like enthusiastic first date stuff, doesn't it? Xi Jinping, for his part, said that the two leaders have agreed to work very hard to overcome their differences, that they had reached consensus on major trade issues. Some things we know they didn't discuss. They said they'd work together on Ukraine, but it didn't come up very strongly as an issue, according to the White House. Taiwan was not discussed at the meeting, which I suppose is diplomatic. But there will be lots of details to thrash out from both parties now that the two leaders have had their tete-a-tete and worked out the headlines. But it will ease some of the concerns about the impact of global tariffs emanating from the US.
Well, you're obviously a very smooth talking operator, because I don't think I ever scored 12 out of 10 on a first date. In fact, I don't think I've ever scored 12 out of 10 on any date, but there we are. Let's move on. We were talking about these trillion-dollar companies. Front page of City AM. Which company features there?
NVIDIA. This is the global chip-making powerhouse behind AI. Let's just go back a little bit and consider this company was founded in 1993 when chips were the sorts of things that we were beginning to become aware of in tech. In 2023, they became a trillion-dollar company. They became a $4 trillion company 4 months ago. And as of yesterday, they have become the world's first $5 trillion company. That means that they are worth more than Germany. They are larger in value than the entire economic output of Germany, which is larger than the United Kingdom. So we are talking about something of a powerhouse here. For further context, this single US-listed tech company is now worth about half the size of every publicly listed company in Europe put together. So that's what we're dealing with. And on this topic, the OpenAI platform has also set the hair running on talks of an IPO going public, listing on the stock exchange in New York. Talk there of a valuation of, oh gosh, what would it be? Certainly around at least $1 trillion off the bat if they were to list their shares publicly. So huge enthusiasm and excitement and indeed some concern around the runaway valuations of these companies. But goodness me, $5 trillion, how about that?
The super rich are going house hunting, but what are they trying to go after?
Yeah, well, some of the team at City AM have been looking into quite how the lifestyle of the rich and famous, or certainly the rich and the very rich, has been shifting as a result of tax changes and changes to the non-dom status, etc., in London. And some of the agents that we've spoken to at the very high end of the market have said, look, these people have either sold out of their London mansions, or they're certainly not buying London mansions at anything like the rate they used to, but they do still like London, and they might be spending less time here. So they're buying flats. What was described to us as a flat probably doesn't pass for what you and I would consider to be a flat in some of these instances, Nick, but they are keeping a pied-à-terre, a bolt hole in London, but probably rather nice ones. And the other area that one of our reporters has looked into to try and figure out quite what changes are underway as a result of these tax reforms and the movement of the mega-rich, and we've looked into the sale and registration of new cars in this country, and the likes of Ferrari, Maserati, Rolls-Royce, those sales are all down, quite substantially down in the UK. So you can take some data out of that, I think, to suggest that, the spending patterns, the impact of the mega-rich, whether you like them or loathe them, is changing.
Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. Talk around the same time tomorrow. Thank you. 7:39. Mohammed, I'll talk to you about that Ethiopian paedophile after the next conversation, because it is money-related, Mohammed, but I will be coming to you because this is about the budget. And, of course, despite all the headlines that are sweeping across the front pages and the city pages, nobody actually knows for sure what's going there. But was there a change in tack? And what a difference, as I said earlier, 3 months can make. We go back to July. Kemi Badenoch's question to Sir Keir Starmer.
Mr. Speaker, in their manifesto last year, Labour promised not to increase income tax, not to increase national insurance, and not to increase VAT. Does the Prime Minister still stand by his promises?
Yes.
To this exchange from Kemi Badenoch to Sir Keir Starmer yesterday.
In its manifesto, Labour promised not to increase income tax, not to increase national insurance, and not to increase VAT. Does the Prime Minister still stand by his promises?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm glad that the Leader of the Opposition is now finally talking about the economy. I can update the House, Mr. Speaker. Retail sales are higher than expected. Inflation is lower than expected. Growth has been upgraded this year. And, Mr. Speaker, the UK stock market is at an all-time high. The budget is on the 26th of November and we will lay out our plans. But I can tell the House now that we will build a stronger economy, we will cut NHS waiting lists and deliver a better future for our country.
Well, Mr. Speaker. Yes. What a fascinating answer. It is not the same answer that I received when I asked exactly the same question, word for word, on the 9th of July. Then the Prime Minister replied with just one word, yes, and then he sat down with a smug grin on his face. What's changed in the past 4 months?
Mr. Speaker, as she well knows, no Prime Minister or Chancellor will ever set out their plans for me. But Mr. Speaker, I can say this, Mr. Speaker, because the figures on the productivity reviews being undertaken, this is a judgment on their record in office. Figures are now coming through and they confirm that the Tories did even more damage to the economy than we previously thought.
And the shouting declined. Now let's not go to political experts, political editor, let's go to an economic expert instead. Aditya Chakraborty is columnist and senior economics commentator with The Guardian. Big piece actually in the paper, we'll talk about that as well in a moment. And he joins me now. Okay, what do you take from this change of tack yesterday from Sir Keir? Morning to you.
Morning, Nick. I think it's pretty clear by the lack of denial that he's going to break one of his key promises he made to the electorate at last summer's election. He is going to raise one of the big three taxes, either income tax, national insurance or VAT. I think one of the things that papers will say is that this is the first time he's done it. It's not. He did it at last budget, actually, by raising employees' national insurance. So it'll be the second time. But, first time you can say, OK, well, that's down to a big black hole that we inherited. Second time, what's your excuse this time?
Your piece in The Guardian, I know you don't write the headline, but hopefully they've summed it up. It takes fight to sell tax rises to voters. Labour is too cowardly. If you agree with the man or woman who wrote that headline and you're happy with it, just sell the article to the listener, Aditya.
I mean, the argument is a pretty simple one. We're heading into an absolutely huge budget in a month's time and hugely painful for voters. £20 to £30 billion is what's widely expected in tax rises and spending cuts. Now, if you're a Labour government, you might expect to be making the argument right now for why taxes should go up. And there are lots of things that you could say. You could say that the average British worker still remains under tax compared to our counterparts in Western Europe. But the point is this, as things stand, the key justification for why taxes are going up next month is because Rachel Reeves' fiscal rules demand they go up. So about £20 to £30 billion will be lifted out of people's pockets, and it will not go into schools, hospitals, your local council. It will be going into creating a budgetary buffer for the Treasury. Now, That is no kind of argument for any politician to make. You would also know, I mean, I hope it's not indelicate of me to say this, Nick, but I don't think this is your first budget. I mean, I've certainly seen plenty of budgets in my time. And usually by now, you have the whole circus of backbench MPs flying kites, reports from think tanks, the odd government commission, and they're all making key demands for why taxes should go up and how they should go up. We've had none of the softening up of the voter. It's quite incredible to me that you've got a government sat on this huge majority and it's willfully frittering away its political capital by just not even making an argument for what it's about to do.
Check out Aditya's great piece in The Guardian today. Thank you very much. Always enjoy speaking with you. Aditya Chakraborty is columnist, senior economics commentator at The Guardian. Big background piece about how the government has effectively straitjacketed itself. 7:44. Let's get one call in before we go to news headlines. Mohammed is in Manchester. Your view of the Ethiopian paedophile with £500 of our money in his pocket. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you doing? You okay? Well.
Yeah, good. Thank you. What's your view?
£500 is becoming a headline story now. I mean, a lot of people don't realise, you know, these convicts, how much the taxpayers actually pay just to get them convicted and put them in prison. I mean, that should have been the last of our worries. We've got a secured deportation on a criminal which England is not welcoming. We've got plenty of them now. It's a stepping stone for better future.
Just to clarify, you support it then?
Well, it should be the last of our worries. You know, we're compassionate. People come to this country, first of all.
But I do worry that we give a paedophile £500. We've given a paedophile £500. What's going to happen on the next flight to Libya or Syria or wherever when they all start kicking off? We're going to give them all cash or cards?
Well, not really. The £500 wasn't given to him to become rich. It's to give him...
It's almost a year's money in Ethiopia.
Taxi home. He's not going to be rich from it. It's a taxi home for showing...
No, Mohammed, you're not listening. I'm sorry to be rude, but it is almost a year's income in Ethiopia.
That's what I'm saying. Ethiopia should know. It's not an income for our... We sent him from England, not from Ethiopia.
We've given a paedophile money.
I understand. Can I just explain that fact now? So Ethiopia will know. Now, look, we're a very tolerant country. That £500 we gave him, not because we felt sorry for him, everything. These are the expenses on him just to go and get out our face. And
what are you talking about? We've paid his flight as well. There were no expenses.
If he has a taxi
home, when he gets to Addis Ababa, I would imagine a taxi home is probably about $2.
Yeah, well, honestly, I reckon England has done a very good job there deporting him. £500 should be at least. I'm not saying that, okay, let's give it all the deportation.
Well, I don't know how you're going to stop it, because once the word gets around, they'll all want these little extra bungs, won't they? Mohammed, thank you. I'll take your view. I will agreeably disagree with you, and I think you're wrong, but let's see what others make of it. Coming up later in the show.
A Somali migrant who came here on a small boat and stabbed a man inside a bank in Derby has been jailed for life. I'm LBC's Luke Shanahan with the latest.
And we will link the dots there. That is a Somalian, of course. We're talking about an Ethiopian, and there are plenty of others who've arrived in this country illegally, unchecked, and are now committing hideous, heinous crimes on our streets. More on that to come. 7:46, LBC News headlines. Simon Conway.
Rachel Reeves has admitted breaking rules over the letting of her family home, but Sir Keir Starmer says an investigation is not necessary. Donald Trump has agreed to reduce tariffs on China after meeting President Xi in South Korea, and more than 30 people are now known to have died in Hurricane Melissa in the Caribbean. LBC weather, dry and bright to start, then turning wet and windy from the west, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M1 southbound Junction 8 at Hemel Hempstead. It's because of an accident. And then on the M25, it's very busy clockwise to Junction 9 at Leatherhead. And that's also following an accident. The A12 slows southbound to the M25 junction. There's been an accident just before the Brook Street roundabout. On the trains, no Gatwick Express, completely suspended because of these emergency works, which is also affecting Southern. They're now suspended between Clapham Junction and Watford Junction. Severe delays for Greater Anglia and Stansted Express services via Tottenham Hale. The Weaver line's back up and running now to Chingford, but with severe delays, and no service on the Metropolitan line between Baker Street and Aldgate.
This is LBC.
At Morrison's this spooky season, mix and match on your fave picky bits with 3 for 2 on party food, like tempura king prawns, mini cheese and bacon shells, and duck spring rolls with hoisin sauce. Something really scrummy to sink your teeth into.
More reasons to shop at Morrison's.
Majority of stores and online subject to availability. Selected lines. Lowest priced item free. Tempura prawns 150 grams. Cheese and bacon shells 224 grams. Duck spring rolls 220 grams. £3.75 each.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Switching to Vodafone full fibre broadband is now as easy as pie. Ooh, freshly baked. It's a walk in the park. Hello, little fella. It's like taking candy from a baby. Come on, as if I'd do that. With One Touch Switch, it's easy. We sort everything out for you. We even contact your current provider. Plus, we'll help towards leaving fees. Switch today to full fibre broadband with Vodafone.
Up to £200 credit to cover leaving fees. More information and terms at vodafone.co.uk/broadband.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
A message from TfL.
I saw Alicia's photo in my newsfeed. All I can think of is her family. How they're getting on. If they're getting on. I didn't look when I pulled out, and she never made it home. Sounds crazy, but it felt like her motorbike came out of nowhere. But I know the truth. I didn't look again.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 4.5% AER variable. That includes a 2% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that once-in-a-lifetime adventure. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18 plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.41% gross. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protect your small business and understand cybersecurity.
It's 10 minutes before 8. We'll come back to our conversation concerning that Ethiopian criminal who's been deported. But let's speak now with a government minister over good news. 60,000 knives are taken off the streets. Boost to saving young lives. Congratulations on that. Joined by Labour MP and Minister for Policing and Crime, Sarah Jones. Minister, we will talk about that in a moment. But obviously, I just had to put you a couple of questions concerning the deportation of this Ethiopian. There seemed to be mixed reports. One was that he was going to try and launch yet another legal challenge. The other that he became disruptive on the plane. Which is it?
So the operation took the decision in that moment to offer him money, which I know is quite galling and sticks in the throat a bit with all of us, I would say. They took the decision because he was on a commercial flight. We do not spend taxpayers' money on military planes or private jets or anything like that for these people. We put them on commercial flights with people who are going on their holidays or going to visit relatives. They took the decision that in order to get him on that plane, they would give him the £500 so that we could get him out of the country. That saved us thousands of pounds. If we hadn't have been able to get him on that plane, then he would have been held for another day. There would have been new flights have to be booked. It would have cost £10,000. So the choice was 500 versus 10,000. And I think in terms of use of taxpayers' money, that was the right decision to make.
Minister, my question was, did he become disruptive or did he say he would launch another legal bid? Which was it?
Well, it could have been a combination of the two. The situation, I don't know the conversation that he had with those people, but I know that the decision was made to give him that money.
How do we get to a figure of £10,000?
Because he was escorted by five people to make sure, obviously these are normal flights with normal people, so you have to make sure there are people with
this person. But why five? Minister, I've spoken with David Wood, who was the Director General of Immigration Enforcement at the Home Office. You might know him. The usual complement is two, at the maximum three. Why five?
I couldn't tell you why there were five in this case. He's obviously a nasty criminal we wanted out of the country, and we wanted to make sure he left. So that was the decision that was made. If we had to rebook those flights, it would have cost us thousands of pounds. And we made
the decision. But you're not answering. Normally it's two, sometimes it's three. The complement here was five. You don't know why it was needed so many.
That was the operational decision.
I mean, this is someone who was compliant, wasn't he?
Well, this is an operational decision that I wasn't part of. I'm sure they made a judgment based on the best information that they had and their probable much experience in this in this situation. So we are increasing the number as well, I should say, of foreign national offenders who we are deporting. We have sent about 5,000 back to their home country over the last year. That is an increase, and that is a good thing.
You sent 5,000 this year?
Over the last year, in terms of the number of foreign national offenders who have left these shores, who we have sent back, and I think
so
most
often
of
I hear the figure 35,000.
That's people who have no right to be in the country.
I see. So that's 5,000 of the 35.
These are people who are convicted criminals. Yeah.
I see. Okay. How were the funds transferred to the criminal? Was it cash?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that. I could go away and find out.
Well, I've done some work on this, again from the former Director General of Immigration Enforcement at the Home Office, who tells me it will have been a pre-authorised card that he would then be able to use the money. So they always knew then that they might have to make a payment such as this to Kabatu.
I think there has always been a system where some payments are sometimes made in order to get people on the planes and get them out of the country. I don't think that is a new thing. I think that is something that has existed.
But how are you going to not this allow him to become a precedent minister? This now, someone you want to get to Libya, Ethiopia again, Sudan. This will become a precedent, won't it? If you kick off, you'll get £500.
I think the decision in this case that was made was the right one, galling though it is. And I see your point, which is why on earth are we giving criminals money and sending them on their way? I absolutely see your point. But in this case, it got him out of the country. He's no longer here, and that's a good thing.
OK, lastly on this, Mr. Lammy has launched an inquiry. How long will that take?
He's asked for that to be relatively quick. Obviously, people want the answers as soon as possible. It's Lynn Owens, who you'll know from her time as Deputy Commissioner in the Met, and she will be, I'm sure, very thorough, but she'll also want to get to the bottom of this as quickly as we can.
But what is relatively quick? I mean, are we talking weeks, months?
Yes, I think we're talking, we're talking, I would say, within a few months max, yes.
All right. Should we celebrate some good news?
Yes.
60,000, I read, blades. I don't know what, do we use blades because of their different sorts of knives? You'll know all the details of this. Just since July last year. Let's get some details on that, Minister.
So this is really good news. You'll know I came on your show many years ago, often talking about knife crime and the scourge that it was. It was rising very fast. It went down during COVID, and it's been rising since the end of COVID very quickly. We've turned that number around. We've got now 18% fall in the number of murders with knives and an overall decrease in knife crime by 5% in the last year. These blades have come to us in a variety of different ways.
Why are they called blades, Minister, and not knives?
Because some of them are ninjas, some of them are machetes, of them are zombie-style knives. I mean, these are all very grim things, and some of them will just be your normal common or garden kitchen knives that people have handed in. They've come through a number of ways. Some are retailers handing over knives that they've been selling legally that now are illegal. Some are from vans that have been going around collecting knives. Some are from knife bins where people have brought knives. I've met with community groups who have been leading this programme. Farron Paul has done a lot of brilliant work in this space. He's one of our Knife Crime Coalition members. They've had calls from mothers saying, I've just found a machete under my son's bed. What do I do? And are they able to handle it?
What is the form then? To someone listening now who thinks, I've had enough, I don't want to walk around with a machete, or a parent who, as you rightly say, do you ring the police? What are you meant to do, Minister?
So these knife bins, 47 of them across the areas where there's the highest prevalence of knife crime, you can just put them in.
But you're I would be nervous walking down the road with a knife, because I might be attacked myself, because you're more likely to be attacked if you've got a knife than you're not.
Yes.
And B,
yes,
I could be stopped by a policeman, or woman, sorry, a police officer.
Yes.
What are you doing with that knife?
Yes. No, I completely understand. The same thing, similar thing happened to me the other day. I found some drugs in when I was canvassing, and I phoned the police. I said, I'm going to come to the police station, hand them in.
Right.
Obviously, that's also something you can do. You can ring 101, you can hand them at your police station.
So is that what you saw some drugs? Were you in Croydon? Were you in your native patch? Were you in
Croydon? I was, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you saw some drugs. What do you know what it was?
I don't. I think it was I don't want to speculate. I think it was crack.
Okay.
But I'm not entirely
sure. So you ring 101 and you say, right, I'm Sarah Jones, I'm in Croydon High Street, and I'm making my way now to your police station, or something like that.
Yes.
Okay, and that's what you would advise people to do with knives?
That's what you can do, or you can put them in bins. There are vans that travel, this van that travels around with Farron Paul is amazing. They've had huge success. Hundreds of knives have been handed in to him. And there are other things that you can do as well. But look, it's horrific knife crime. It's horrific. It absolutely destroys communities.
Yes.
I am completely determined that we continue on this path. It is not far and fast enough. We've had a murder this week, of course, that people will have seen. You know, people are still being hurt and still being murdered, but we are beginning to make progress, and that is a good thing.
We better just say that's going before the courts, of course, so we need to decide on that particular one. Okay, lastly, and well done, and long may you and your continues to drive that home. I've got to have one final question. We now learn that one of your senior colleagues, Rachel Reeves, was letting out a house without the necessary licence. I mean, this is a government with someone who said he was a solicitor and he wasn't. A Chancellor who said slightly misled us about the work she did at the Bank of England. A homelessness minister who made her own tenants homeless. And a housing secretary who didn't pay stamp duty. Why this level of incompetence among your colleagues?
Well, look, she moved into 11 Downing Street. We know her family home she rented out through a letting agent. In Southwark, they have a selective licence, landlord licensing scheme. They don't have that in every borough. We used to have one in Croydon. We don't anymore. We might get another one. It changes. She didn't know she needed it. But selective licensing schemes are really good things. They're there to make sure rogue landlords don't do the wrong thing.
But the contrast is stark, Minister. There you are, collecting drugs in Croydon, rounding them up and taking them into police stations. Meanwhile, some of your senior colleagues are bending or breaking the laws, Minister.
She didn't know that there was selective licensing.
But she's the Chancellor.
Minute she did, she rectified it. She's put it right. The Prime Minister has gone to his ethics advisor and said, what do I do about this? The ethics advisor has said she's apologised. She put it right. As soon as she knew, she did. There's no more to be done. And that is the end of it.
Finish with this. The family of the victim of Kabatu, the Ethiopian, have asked for an apology, and they say they've not been contacted by either the Justice Secretary or the Home Secretary. Would you agree they are deserving of some form of contact from either one of those senior members of the government?
So I know that last weekend, when he was missing, I was in several calls with the police, and we were absolutely at pains to make sure that those police officers who'd been dealing with their cases were talking to them, contacting them, standing with them and supporting them. I don't know if ministers have done so, or if they're going
to. Well, the family have told us they haven't. I mean,
what
I put it to you again. Do you not think David Lammy or Shabana Mahmood should call?
I'm sure they'll take that forward. What I do know is that David Lammy and Shabana were both asking questions that I heard them ask to make sure the families were being looked after. The concern was absolutely there for them. It was the first thought that we had as soon as we heard that he had gone missing. Well, because of course it is almost unfathomable that he was released in the way that he was. And of course we're deeply sorry to those families who've suffered, that this should have happened.
But genuine Minister, perhaps I could ask you to indicate to your senior colleagues, perhaps a call to the family would not be amiss, if we can leave that there. Mm-hmm. And good luck. 60,000 knives. Let's hope next time we talk it's even more. Thank you for your time explaining all that. Policing and Crime Minister Sarah Jones appearing here on LBC, taking us to 1 minute after eight. So let's get the headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Rachel Reeves has apologised after she admitted breaking local housing rules. The Chancellor says she didn't get the correct licence to rent out her family home in London after she moved into Downing Street last year. But Sir Keir Starmer's decided an investigation is not necessary after consulting his ethics advisor. Nick's just been speaking to Policing and Crime Minister Sarah Jones.
Well, look, she moved into 11 Downing Street. We know her family home she rented out through a letting agent. In Southwark, they have a selective landlord licensing scheme. They don't have that in every borough. We used to have one in Croydon. We don't anymore. We might get another one. It changes. She didn't know she needed it. Selective licensing schemes are really good things.
Donald Trump says he's agreed to lower tariffs on China after meeting Xi Jinping in South Korea. The US president's been speaking to reporters on Air Force One, signalling a breakthrough in trade tensions.
I guess on the scale of from 0 to 10, with 10 being the best, I would say the meeting was a 12. the whole relationship is very, very important, and I think it was really good.
Mr. Trump also says Beijing will give the U.S. better access to rare earths. China says both sides have agreed a consensus to resolve major trade issues. Prosecutors in Paris say a further five suspects have been arrested over the heist at the Louvre. Two others in custody had already partially recognised their involvement in the theft. Jewels taken from the museum earlier this month have not been recovered. More than 30 people are now known to have died in Hurricane Melissa in the Caribbean. The storm has caused widespread destruction across Cuba, Haiti and Jamaica. The King, who is also Jamaica's head of state, says he is deeply concerned about the damage. Virgin Trains is a step closer to running international services through the Channel Tunnel, competing with Eurostar. The company has been granted access to use Eurostar's East London depot. Virgin plans to launch services from St Pancras in 2030. In the city, the FTSE 100 is about to reopen at 97.56 after closing up 59 points yesterday, and the pound buys $1.32 and €1.13. LBC weather, a dry, bright but chilly start, turning cloudier with some rain arriving from the west later and becoming windy. A high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Simon Conway.
Make sure you're ready for the hosting season with EE, the UK's fastest growing broadband provider. Get ultra reliable full fiber that can handle...
Mom, what's your Wi-Fi password?
I need to download my updates.
And so all the extra guests can...
stream films in the kitchen.
And go all out on gaming.
Hurry, order today to be ready for Christmas. We'll even make the switch easy with up to £300 towards your leaving fees.
Sounds simple.
Up to £300 credited to your EE account. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims. New customers, 62% availability, 24 months, terms apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after 8, Thursday the 30th of October. Question for you. What links an Ethiopian paedophile, a Sudanese murderer and a Libyan man who threatened hotel staff with a knife? That's right, they've all arrived in this country over the previous years unchecked and with backgrounds they know nothing of. All have now been convicted of those serious crimes. We'll give you more details on that and ask, when will the government actually, and previous governments, I hasten to add, some of these did not arrive, in fact only one of those arrived actually on Labour's watch, when will governments actually take seriously their role of keeping us safe? In other news, back to the future for Reform UK MP Lee Anderson and the so-called Invacars.
Back in the day, if you were on disability and you wanted the car from the state, it was a blue three-wheeler. Anybody remember those? What's wrong with that? Let's go back to that.
Well, one of the reasons was that they regularly turned over and sometimes they would, without any warning, burst into flames and the disabled person was trapped inside. But for Mr. Anderson, those are the good old days. We'll look at that in more detail. Plus...
Sir Keir Starmer has said there's no need for an investigation after the Chancellor Rachel Reeves apologised for breaking housing rules and renting out her family home without a licence. But why? I'm LBC's Natasha Clark with all the details.
We will come back to the payment for the paedophile to get him to Addis Ababa. And also, in later in this hour...
The mother of a woman with severe anorexia has told LBC her daughter could have died after one of the UK's biggest pharmacies allowed her to buy weight loss jabs. I'm LBC's Helen Hoddenall with the exclusive.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
I asked you just a few moments ago, what links the asylum seeker from paedophile from Ethiopia, of whom we were speaking in the previous hour, or the Sudanese murderer who stabbed someone 23 times with a screwdriver and then danced afterwards on video, or the 35-year-old man from Libya who chased hotel staff with a knife over the food service? They've all arrived here illegally. And on that theme, we go to the latest story, and the murder of a father of three in a random attack. Details now from Luke Shanahan, LBC's reporter, who was at Derby Crown Court yesterday. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It was a 47-year-old Somali migrant who stabbed 37-year-old Govinda Johal inside a bank in Derby, and that man has now been jailed for life. Govinda, known as Danny, was queuing at the St. Peter Street branch of Lloyds Bank at around 2:30 p.m. on the 6th of May when Habib Kabdirachman Noor walked in, stabbed him, and just walked right out. Danny was pronounced dead at the scene at around 3 p.m. and his killer, who'd only been inside the bank for just 22 seconds, was arrested 3 hours later. Detective Inspector Tony Owen gave a statement outside court after yesterday's hearing.
Danny went into the bank as a customer, intending to withdraw money to pay staff their wages. He was simply minding his own business when Mr. Knorr stabbed him in an unprovoked and brutal attack. He didn't stand a chance of defending himself.
There was no provocation or warning before the attack, and no evidence the killer and victim knew each other. Danny's friend Ajit Singh Atwell was also at the hearing and told me no sentence can bring him back.
I think the biggest upset and the heartbreak for me is somebody just walked in casually, stabbed him and just walked off like nothing's happened. I mean, watching that CCTV evidence today, it was horrific. I mean, first of all, why would anybody do that? And secondly, the most upsetting thing for me is the individual who's done it had no right to be here. The authorities should have picked up on him. He had no right to be here. I genuinely believe if he was picked up when he should have been, our friend and somebody's loved one, son, husband and dad, would have been alive today.
Throughout the hearing, Noor sat with his head low, listening to proceedings through a Somali interpreter. The 47-year-old Somali national arrived in the UK last October by small boat after multiple brushes with the law in Italy, Germany, the Netherlands and Luxembourg. He was given immigration bail here in March after appealing a decision to deny his asylum claim and has since been diagnosed with complex PTSD and alcohol dependency. On the morning of the attack, he made more than one muddled call, let's say, to support group Migrant Help to say he wasn't happy here. He threatened both suicide and also to kill 500 people. Honestly, Nick, it's quite tricky to faithfully convey what we heard of the transcript of those phone calls because they were just really garbled. But safe to say, Noor wasn't happy his asylum claim had been rejected, which meant he couldn't work here, and he was talking about taking some kind of violent action. And the group did tell emergency services about the calls, but of course that didn't save Govinda Johal. As things stand, Noor will serve life in jail with a minimum term of 25 years. But naturally, there's a question of deportation for a foreign national who's committed a crime as serious as this one. And the judge said that's a matter for the Home Office. We've got a statement from the Minister for Border Security and Asylum, Alex Norris, who said, "Our thoughts remain very firmly with the loved ones of Govinda Johal after his horrific murder. This was a terrifying and shocking incident which we will not tolerate. Any foreign national who commits a heinous crime on the streets of Britain will face justice and then be subject to removal from our country."
Luke Shanahan reporting 10 minutes after 8. So, what links that Somalian killer that you've just heard, the Sudanese murderer who danced on video after stabbing a woman 23 times with a screwdriver, the Ethiopian sex offender, and the Libyan knife man? That's right, they all arrived in this country unchecked on those boats. Again, not all on Labour's watch, I want to stress that. Now, one newspaper that's been looking into this in some detail is The Sun. Julia Atherley is Home Affairs correspondent for The Sun newspaper, joins me now. You and your team did an investigation into this kind of offence quite recently. What did you discover, Julia? Good morning.
Morning. So, yeah, just some context around this investigation. It was just after Kabasu, the person who we've been heard has just been sent back to Ethiopia, just after he was arrested and we'd heard that he had sexually assaulted a 14-year-old girl. And there was a lot of rumours swirling around online about, you know, are all these people living in these hotels committing crimes? A lot of kind of unfounded rumours that people were worried about it. So we wanted to actually have a look at the data and actually see what it tells us, because as you know and as your team know, there is no government released data on how many people who are living in these hotels are committing crimes, are appearing before courts. So what we did is we looked at the court lists from all the magistrates' courts across the country for the first 6 months of the year. And I had a list of 105 of the 210 hotels, which are being run as government asylum hotels. So actually only half of them. And we found that there had been just over 330 people appearing before magistrates in the first 6 months of the year who were living in those asylum hotels. And the offences ranged from, you know, something as simple as not having a ticket on not paying your train fare, up to really serious sexual offences such as rape.
I think there was a sexual assault, GBH, ABH, possession of knives and firearms. What was the number of cases that were at that severity then, Julia?
It was smaller, so I think it was something along the lines, there was 29 sexual offences, which you say range from sexual assault to rape, And I think it was in the 50s that was to do with violent offences, knife crime, things like that. And also to say, you know, more than a million people in this country every year appear before magistrates. So just to put that into some perspective. But what our investigation was doing was just to look at the data and just to lay it out in simple terms, because what the case in Epping, it kind of, you know, it really started that moment that people were, yes. There was a lot of rumours and lies swirling online. So we just actually wanted to look at what does data actually show.
And did the Home Office respond to the Sun's investigation?
Yes. I mean, they said that, you know, they take everything really seriously and, you know, they're looking into it. And also, that as you know, they have their pledge to close all asylum hotels by the end of Parliament. So they reiterated that as well.
And lastly, is there a sense there should be better data provided to the media, a more accurate breakdown of some of these crimes?
I think so. I mean, I think more data can only be a good thing. We already have, for example, we get the number of foreign nationals who are held in our prisons. We have that data. And I think especially a topic as controversial and as, you know, provoking as asylum hotels and the people who are being put up there by taxpayers' money. I think greater transparency can only be a good thing.
Grateful for your time, Julia Attlee. Thank you. Home Affairs correspondent at The Sun, reminding us that investigation from a few months ago. So that is the reality of the sort of crimes. The murder of a 7-year-old girl at Bolton by a female asylum seeker, a triple stabbing in a park in Reading by a Libyan granted leave to remain, a Somalian double rapist allowed to stay here because a judge ruled that to send him home would endanger his mental health. This is all chronicled in some detail by Richard Littlejohn in today's Daily Mail. And he's not even mentioned some of the others that I've told you about. And, of course, the Ethiopian that we were discussing in the first hour. The government's first role is to protect its citizens. And this is governments. I say again, governments. Some of the people I've just referenced arrived under the Conservatives' watch. They have failed palpably. The tragedy now is that whereas you might have thought that a Conservative government might move against this, a Labour government led by a man whose entire professional life has been one in human rights, who you could imagine possibly has as his bedtime reading the European Convention, there is no way he would ever move to stop this, to ensure that the rights of you and I, who want to live peacefully, who want our children to live peacefully, and not be potentially stabbed to death by someone with a screwdriver who shouldn't even be in the country, they're never going to move on it. And it is a shame. It is a national scandal that not more is being done. We are not being protected case after case, whether from Somalia, whether from Ethiopia, whether from Libya. People are either sexually assaulting us or murdering us or threatening and stabbing us with knives. And yet still they come. And that pathetic one in, one out is meant to be the solution. It's just one big offence and nothing less. We'll come to your reactions on that. Plus, do you remember those blue three-wheeled, deadly Invercars?
Back in the day, if you were on disability and you wanted the car from the state, it was a blue three-wheeler. Anybody remember those? What's wrong with that? Let's go back to that.
Well, apparently they used to burst into flames and were very difficult to drive, but apart from that, it's a good idea. We'll come to that later in the hour. 8:15, LBC News Headlines, Simon Conway.
The Prime Minister has decided Rachel Reeves does not need to face an investigation despite her admission she broke local housing rules on renting out her family home. Donald Trump says he's agreed to lower tariffs on China after a 90-minute meeting with President Xi, and five more suspects have been arrested over the heist at the Louvre in Paris. LBC weather dry and bright to start, then turning wet and windy from the west, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the M1 southbound to Junction 8 at Hemel Hempstead. It's because a car has broken down and one lane is closed. Also, delays continue on the M25 anti-clockwise at Junction 28 at the A12, and that was after an accident that happened earlier. On the A12, it's very busy south, heading towards the M25 after an accident. And also on the A12, but in Bow, there are southbound queues to the Bow interchange, and that's because of an accident and only one lane's open in the underpass. No Gatwick Express trains running. Southern Cart run between Clapham Junction and Watford Junction. And Chiltern Railways are disrupted. They're at a standstill southbound between High Wycombe and Gerrard's Cross. A train's broken down.
This is LBC.
Get that Euro Millions feeling with Friday's £65 million jackpot. Plus, 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. That's 10 more reasons to dance. 10 more robots, 10 more limbos, 10 more salsas. Friday's EuroMillions jackpot is £65 million. And 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. This is LBC.
Next summer sorted. Book a Jet 2 holiday now and take your pick of our best rooms, flights and hotels. You'll get 22 kilograms of baggage included, and right now there's £120 off per couple with My Jet 2. Book now with just a £60 deposit per person and lock in the prize for next summer. Jet 2 holidays. Package holidays you can trust. Up to national protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
And still they come, these people. They come unchecked with mass ridiculous ideas such as stop the boats or smash the gangs. And cases are heard in court. I've not even mentioned, for obvious reasons, the one that's going before the courts as we speak. Because I don't want in any way to prejudice a trial. We'll have to see what verdict that delivers, won't we? Keith from Broadstairs. Keith, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Nice to talk to you.
Good to have you on. What are you going to tell me?
No, I think like many people across the country, what's happened, not just most recently, but before that, is quite horrific. It's not worth going into all the cases that have gone on and all the innocent people that have lost their lives, sadly. But what really staggers me, and I'm sure it resonates with the rest of the country, is I can't understand why these people don't come over and are kept in a secure facility until the background checks and their mental state has been assessed.
It's against their human rights, I would imagine. But never mind the human rights of the people who are being murdered and sexually assaulted.
Exactly. And if we talk about the guy who's just left the country back to Ethiopia, I would suggest that he's probably lost his human rights when he has sexually assaulted the two women.
What did you make of that £500 payment?
Well, I just think it's disgusting. I try to be very logical and level-headed when I listen to all the callers and listen to both sides of the story, but it seems to me that he should have probably had a little bit of a whisper in his ear to say, you're getting on the plane, you can go on it the easy way or the hard way, so we'll either cuff you and put your heads between your legs for the next 8 hours, or you can sit there and have a nice meal and watch out the window for a little while. But I certainly wouldn't have been paying him £500. He would have gone on the plane regardless.
Even I wouldn't go quite as far as that, but yes, there would not have been a £500 payment. Keith, thank you. I have to tell you, despite these horrific crimes we've talked about, these murders, the murder of that man in Derby, the case we just told you, listen to what some of you are saying on the emails and the texts. Lloyd, the racist propaganda is on full blast today. We have low crime rates in general. Well, why don't you tell that to the people who've been either sexually assaulted or murdered, Lloyd? See, I wonder if they take any comfort from that. I want to check I can read your name. Rob, it's a common one. I've worked in the Home Office Asylum Directorate handling asylum claims for over 20 years. I believe we need to stop illegal entrants by refusing to allow them to claim asylum and withdraw our responsibility under the UN Convention. I think you're probably right, sir. You have greater experience than I, but it is never going to happen with this current Prime Minister, who I say would regard almost as the Bible, the European Convention. Keith in Birmingham, you're an idiot. There are millions of people in this country. Well, let's import some more sexual offenders then. Let's get some more in and some more murderers. Rachel, what's the difference between Nick Ferrari and Sarah Poachin? None. I might have read one of yours already, but it's suitably rude, so I'll read it again. Lloyd, it's disgusting people like you we happen to be aware of. Why do you all not have any concern for the safety of your fellow citizens? Why do you do that? How many more cases of young people of nice gentlemen who walked their nice gentlemen who worked up in Derby going into a bank. How many more people are going to have to be murdered? How many more teenage girls are going to have to be sexually assaulted before you wake up to this? Or will you forever wear those blinkers? Jason, you'll be the next caller on that. Let's go to other matters. And the mother of a severely anorexic woman has told LBC her daughter could have died after one of the UK's biggest online pharmacies allowed her to buy weight loss jabs. Newman refused to stop the prescription even after a desperate mother begged them to. The company only acted after LBC contacted them and has now apologised. Here with all the details, LBC's Helen Hoddenott in the studio. Helen, good morning.
Morning, Nick. So we are protecting the identities of the people in this piece. So names and voices have been changed. But LBC was contacted last week by a mum, Debbie, who had found boxes of the weight loss jab Wegovy in her daughter's bedroom. Her daughter, Caitlin, is in her 20s. She's been suffering from anorexia for over a decade. She's been hospitalised multiple times and also sectioned. Debbie told us the first thing that she does every morning is to go into her daughter's room and check she's still alive.
I've been told by every practitioner that works with her that she is at serious risk of death. You do get moments as a mum when you let those thoughts become really dark. So I have replayed conversations in my head where I call my dad and say, we lost her. Or I go through my speech for her funeral. And I know that the last line of that would be, I'm so sorry I couldn't save you.
Debbie told us she'd recently noticed that Caitlin, who had been making some positive progress, was eating less than usual and she didn't understand why.
I have to regularly check her room for things like laxatives, but on that occasion, I found the instruction manual for Wegovy, and I knew what that was. As a mother, when you see things like that, your heart just collapses, because you're fighting something that's so much. You know, you try to protect her in the home, but there's a world out there.
So she found her daughter had multiple boxes of Wegovy supplied by Newman, which is a leading online pharmacist here in the UK, which incidentally saw its sales boom this year, up 150% compared to last year because of the explosion in demand for weight loss drugs. It bills itself on its website as providing genuine and safe prescriptions. But Caitlin was able to use an AI-generated image to fake her identity and the need for the jabs. And when Debbie called Newman and explained the situation, explained how seriously unwell Caitlin is, imploring them to cancel the orders, customer service said that only Caitlin could cancel them from her own email address, citing GDPR reasons. That is when Debbie reached out to LBC, at which point Newman terminated the prescription. Now, Nick, online pharmacies are supposed to carry out robust checks before selling customers' medication. Earlier this year, the General Pharmaceutical Council published stronger guidelines stipulating that proper two-way consultations with patients are needed for these high-risk drugs. And companies that don't comply do face risk facing enforcement action. But Debbie is now urgently calling for greater regulation across the sector.
I think at a bare minimum, it can't be a photograph that you're submitting. It has to be a video, or it has to be face-to-face. And I think you have to, within that video or face-to-face meeting, have your passport or your ID. And I think if it's online dispensing of medication that can be as fatal as this, if it gets in the wrong hands, then there should absolutely be access to GP and NHS records to verify that person is who they say they are and the weight that they say they are.
So Newman's CEO has now apologised directly to Debbie for the sale of medication and has also promised to introduce a series of extra verification tools to avoid a repeat of this case.
LBC's Helen Hoddenott reporting. 8:26. And still the emails and the texts pour in. Melanie, you're a gross racist. John, how can you possibly hold those views? Why aren't you thinking of the people who are arriving here? I'm thinking of the people already here. I'm thinking of this poor man, or rather his family, the children of the man known as Danny, his wife and children aged 5, 3 and 1, Govinda Singh Johal, known as Danny, standing in a bank and fatally stabbed. That's who I'm thinking of, people that this government should be protecting. And still they come. Jason's in Marylebone. Jason, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning, sir. If you're a racist, I'm a cat. I mean, it's just beyond ridiculous for somebody like yourself, for people to write in and say that to you. But the fact is, I remember talking to Sir Keir Starmer on your show, mm-hmm. and I asked him a question, and the question was, what's your plan to try and stop reoffending in this country? Mm-hmm. And he started waffling on about nursery school. And I'm looking at it, he wants to try and change that aspect of it by trying to make the people that are educated in England not turn into criminals, let's call them that. Mm-hmm. But yet we're bringing in and we're allowing all these random people to come in that commit crime that are already adults. And he hasn't got any control over this whatsoever. And for him to keep saying, oh, I inherited this mess. They've been in charge, I think, for 18 months now.
Yes.
And at least Conservative, they had a plan. And believe it or not, the threat of that plan was bringing the numbers down. Just the threat of that plan.
Well, to support that, I have to tell you that already this year, we have surpassed the figure of illegal arrivals that we did for the whole of last year. So I do, would Rwanda have worked, we will never know. But certainly, I do think it handed out a message over there in Calais.
The threat of it worked, and that's important. And I'm looking at this £500 situation. I mean, what I've heard this morning is this one person had five, let's call them security guards, right, around this one person, which is absurd. But I don't believe for one second he kicked up a fuss. I think he was always going to get £500 given to him. I just think it was handed to him. I don't think he turned around and made a song and dance, and that's why they gave it to him. I just think it's standard procedure, and they don't want to admit that.
Jason, thanks for your strong words and your support. David in Hampstead. David, what do you want to say to this story? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. You're not a racist.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's confident you get all day. But I think, you know, the hypocrisy here is crazy. If I turn up to an airport without a passport, or I go to the Eurostar and I have no passport, they won't let me on.
Right.
And ironically, if I went to the Eurostar and I didn't have a passport, I think a lot of the same people calling you racist would be standing in the queue shouting at me, telling me how dare I do that. And it's just crazy because, again, the same people shouting at you, calling you racist, daring to question, you know, how it's still allowed to happen.
Yeah.
If I just went into their house, go, look, I've got nowhere to live, sit down on the couch and go, listen, just give me a meal, give me, you know, some bits and pieces and I'm trying to sleep in the couch here. I can guarantee they would be crying for years and telling people, no, this horrible man needs to get out of my house. But these people can essentially burgle our country and come in.
But how many more cases of innocent people being attacked in a bank, of a 14-year-old girl being inappropriately touched? How many more have we got to hear before
The saddest part of that is, and you know, you're slightly older than me, but you'll remember, like I'll remember, the country never used to be like this. And it's not some kind of weird racist thing to say, because this has got nothing to do with skin color or race, but the country never used to be like this.
No.
And the common denominator is, we're allowing floods of people to come in. And these people, you know, even if I think I'm a real big bleeding heart, these people come from cultures where they do not respect women, they do not respect the rule of law, they do not have the same values that we have. And they're coming in, and they are obviously just abiding by the values that they know from their country. And these people won't even admit that that's the case.
And given the evidence that was heard in Derby Crown Court yesterday, it's difficult to argue with any of the points that David made there. David, thank you. Controlled migration, yes. I wouldn't be here without it. My grandfather wouldn't have got into the country without controlled migration. Uncontrolled migration, where we have no idea who's getting in, it has to be stopped. But it won't under this government. Thank you for your kind words. We must move on. We're already late. And we will come back to a related story, in a sense, in that we'll be talking about the Ethiopian who got that £500. We are going to come back to that. But also, of course, there's another scandal confronting the government, or at least one senior member, the Chancellor. It turns out she's been renting her house out in Dulwich, which is a fairly fashionable part of South London, without the necessary licence. But here's policing and crime minister, using a policing expression, Sarah Jones, saying, move along, there's nothing to see here.
She didn't know that there was selective licensing.
She's the
minute she did, she rectified it. She's put it right. The Prime Minister has gone to his ethics advisor and said, what do I do about this? The ethics advisor has said she's apologised. She put it right. As soon as she knew, she did.
We'll have more on that in the next hour. It's 8:31. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Newstime, Simon Conway.
Sir Keir Starmer says an investigation is not necessary after the Chancellor admitted breaking local housing rules. Rachel Reeves says she made a mistake in not getting the required licence to rent out her home in South East London. LBC has learned one of the UK's leading online pharmacies sold a weight loss jab to a severely anorexic woman. Newman has apologised to her mother and is promising to bring in extra verification checks. Donald Trump has agreed to lower some tariffs on Chinese goods after talks with his counterpart Xi Jinping in South Korea. The US president says they had an amazing meeting and that the two countries can now sign a trade deal pretty soon. LBC weather, a dry, bright but chilly start, turning cloudier with some rain arriving from the west later and becoming windy, a high of 15 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4pm.
If you're in a position where another £1,000 to find is the difference between you going on holiday and you not going on holiday, I do actually think, for a week, the one family holiday you get to take that year is actually a good reason for you to miss school with your child.
Tom Swarbrick.
With cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
LBC.
Train to Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie. Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look. That one's the plough.
Shooting star. Wow.
Made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
It's easy to forget just how crazy things have been over the past couple of years. Every day we wake up to something new. Tariffs and taxes on anything and everything. It's tempting to put your hands in your ears and go, la 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 la, I can't hear you, until it's all over. But you know what's the best response to crazy times? A plan for your money. And Quilter can help. Because let's face it, there's probably going to be some crazy times ahead too. Money needs a plan. Quilter. Pensions, investments, advice. Find out more at quilter.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protecting businesses of all sizes against cyber threats.
And still they pour in. 8:33. Abdul, you're not helping matters. When you create the tension, you won't be there when it kicks off to help. This comes in from Len at Tower Hill. You are utterly irresponsible. I can't believe that you can say these things. Aren't you even thinking? Same subject. Alison, and sneering and using the fact that someone has worked in human rights all their life as an insult. You are a disgrace. That's a common word, isn't there? Disgrace running through today. Sally's in Crowborough. Sally, you're concerned because, of course, you must presumably live near that barracks in Crowborough, right?
Hi, Nick. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes, I do.
Now, this is where there could be 450 of these folks, could be on their way to live among you.
Absolutely. I think the trouble is, Nick, is we haven't had any consultation, no one's spoken to the community at all or any of the residents, and the first we heard about it was when we turned on LBC.
Right, yep.
or BBC. I think it's appalling. They haven't, they're free to, they're shipping them in under darkness. I think there was a coach that went in there last night.
So they are, these folk are actually arriving, are they, Sally?
I think so. Yeah, apparently there was some footage on Facebook. But whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I'm just concerned. I've got an 8 and a 10-year-old. My 10-year-old will be going to senior school next year in September. Mm-hmm. She was going to walk to school and walk home, but now I don't know.
What are other people in the area saying?
I think they're concerned as well, Nick, because nobody's been told how they're going to be, these people are going to be, are they going to be housed in there? Are they allowed to come out? Are they allowed to walk up to the high street and back? I suppose they are. Where are they from? Have they been checked? No one knows anything.
Where do you think these people should go? How should the problem be dealt with? I know you're not a politician, but have you been able to give that much thought to that?
Well, I think it obviously needs to be looked at. I haven't got, I'm not educated and all that, Nick. I've got no idea, to be honest. But I don't think that 600 males between 25 and 60 should be just be dumped in an army barracks amongst the residents and no one's discussed it with us. I think it's absolutely dreadful.
I can understand that. Sally, lastly, prior to their arrival, was it still being used by military personnel?
I think it was being used by army cadets.
I see. Okay.
And they housed Afghan helpers during the Afghani war, I think.
I see. Okay.
With the interpreters and things like that. So they were. They
and is
were
it
there,
right in the middle of Crowborough or is it on the outskirts? I'm afraid I'm
no,
not.
No, it's slightly on the outskirts, on the A26, just slightly. So you do, it's a bit of a walk up to the high street. But I'm very concerned, Nick, and no one we haven't got any information from the council or the MP's trying to get some information out. But I just think that we need to have a meeting or something needs to happen to speak to the residents.
I fear there won't be a meeting because there's not a history of them doing these meetings. That's the problem.
Well, but I think that's outrageous. You can't just place these illegal migrants that have come over, illegally.
Yep.
They haven't come over legally. They're illegal immigrants.
Yeah, they are.
And they're coming over here. They're now going to be amongst the community, and we haven't even had our say on it. I think it's a disgrace.
Sally, stay in touch. Let us know how it goes. I'm afraid you, like other communities, you're not allowed your say at all. And as we've seen, unfortunately, and if you go to Essex, it takes a sexual offence to actually the people to be aware of what's going on. Look after yourself and your family. John's in Coventry. John, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I just want to congratulate you on raising this because everybody else seems to be too scared to actually say it. But I think it's a well-overdue problem. I think, basically, if you were running a company that employed 60 million people and you had a death or a serious injury every month, you'd probably close it down. But it seems to be part of the ideology not to actually face up to it or protect their own citizens.
You hear from the Justice Secretary, the Home Secretary, the Prime Minister that they are determined to take action on this. What level of confidence do you have that anything will be achieved?
I think it's lip service. I think it's very low. I think they just, I mean, they come out, they make a knee-jerk reaction, but the illegal people who are desperate, they're desperate enough to get into a rubber dinghy, come across, and when they find out the streets aren't paved with gold, what do? They start losing the plot, and they start attacking the locals. And you've just heard from people there, they're afraid of their children going to school, they're afraid of walking the streets, they're afraid of in their own country. And it's almost, you know, we're trying to save people from tyranny, but we're importing tyranny into our own country. I can't understand the logic.
And yet, even as that woman, Sally from Crowborough, was speaking, there were people who were sending me emails and text messages that this is a racist, this woman's a racist, get her off air. It's not a racist at all to have concerns about your children, one of whom's going to secondary school soon.
Well, I mean, if not being a racist means my children are subject to being stabbed, murdered, or going about their daily business, I'll quite happily say that I am, because at the end of the day, that is not on. And if you're going to call people out for being racist, for being that, you're not interested in people's own welfare and protection, and you've got no right in the debate. If you've got no children, and you've got no interest in protecting people who you live in this country with, you're in the wrong country.
John, thank you for that. We might return to the subject. Let's go to other news. News that's really not quite broken overnight, but broke late yesterday, with the news the Chancellor has been renting out her family home without a licence since entering Downing Street. You might have heard me challenge one of her junior colleagues on this in the first hour. Here with all the details, LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark. Natasha, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, so this morning, Sir Keir Starmer has completely dismissed, really, the idea of a full investigation into his Chancellor, Rachel Reeves. It emerged last night after a report in the Daily Mail that the Chancellor had been renting out her home in Southwark without the required licence to do so. It's a four-bedroom property in South London. It was her family home. However, of course, the family moved out to Downing Street last year after Labour won the election. Now, the Chancellor has reported herself to the Prime Minister, the Independent Ethics Advisor, and to the parliamentary authorities. However, the Prime Minister came back last night in a letter that was exchanged with Rachel Reeves, saying that her apology is enough. The Prime Minister has said that she is treating this with the seriousness it deserves. However, the Tories have said she's broken the law and should resign. You put this earlier to the Minister, Sarah Jones. Here was her reply.
We now learn that one of your senior colleagues, Rachel Reeves, was letting out a house without the necessary licence. I mean, this is a government with someone who said he was a solicitor and he wasn't. A Chancellor who said was slightly misled us about the work she did at the Bank of England. A homelessness minister who made her own tenants homeless. And a housing secretary who didn't pay stamp duty. Why this level of incompetence among your colleagues?
Well, look, she moved into 11 Downing Street. We know her family home she rented out through a letting agent. In Southwark, they have a selective landlord licensing scheme. They don't have that in every borough. We used to have one in Croydon. We don't anymore. We might get another one. It changes. She didn't know she needed it. But selective licensing schemes are really good things. They're there to make sure rogue landlords don't do the wrong thing.
But the contrast is stark, Minister. There you are, collecting drugs in Croydon, rounding them up and taking them into police stations. Meanwhile, some of your senior colleagues are bending or breaking the laws, Minister.
She didn't know that there was selective
but
licensing.
She's the
minute she did, she rectified it. She's put it right. The Prime Minister has gone to his ethics advisor and said, what do I do about this? The ethics advisor has said she's apologised. She put it right. As soon as she knew, she did. There's no more to be done. And that is the end of it.
That is the end of it. That's according to the Labour Party and the government this morning. And a spokesperson for Miss Reeves has apologised. They say this was an inadvertent error, that the letting agency that was letting out that property did not let her know that she needed that licence. However, Nick, of course, it really does bring up a lot of questions. Well, if the Chancellor doesn't know the rules, then how on earth are the rest of us meant to know them? We spoke earlier as well to the Shadow Chancellor, Mel Stride. The Tories are calling for a full investigation into this mistake.
This is the Prime Minister on the steps of Downing Street when elected, said he was going to bring back integrity and transparency to government. And what we're seeing here is a quick exchange of letters last night to try and sweep this whole thing under the carpet. It's emerged this morning, or I've been shown an article in the Yorkshire Evening Post, for example, in January 2023. So that was before this property was rented out, in which Rachel Reeves appears to have been campaigning locally in her constituency to have the kind of provisions brought in, these special license arrangements, locally in Leeds, whilst now saying, oh, well, she was unaware of this requirement in respect of herself and her own property now in London just a reasonably short time later. So I think that's indicative of the fact that we just basically need a proper investigation into what has happened to establish exactly what the facts are. And that, unfortunately, is what the Prime Minister is saying he's just not prepared to do.
So very much this morning, at number 10, pointing us back to the Prime Minister's letter, pointing us back to Rachel Reeves' statements. However, these revelations come at a very politically awkward time for Rachel Reeves. Of course, she's preparing to give a budget in just 4 weeks' time. She's already in an incredibly politically precarious position. Already, of course, you've been playing those clips from the Prime Minister, from Kemi Badenoch, yesterday at Prime Minister's Questions, where he pointedly refused to rule out raising income tax. That is a headache that Rachel Reeves already has. And today's revelations are yet another headache that the Prime Minister just does not need right now.
LBC's political editor Natasha Clark reporting. If you wonder why there's a noise of helicopters, Natasha will be covering a speech by the Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch, which is within the next 15, 20 minutes or so. So that was the accompanying din. Apologies for that. The Conservatives were wrong to call for an investigation. There's nothing to investigate. The woman who is in charge of the accounting, effectively, the accounts of this country, cannot rent out her house correctly. It is extraordinary. And we're meant to say, oh, well, I didn't know. Oh, well, that's all right then. Kenneth in Scarborough on this. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning, Nick. So when I was a boy, I studied O-level law. One of the first things I learnt was ignorantia legis non excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah.
So when the Chancellor says she doesn't realise she needed a licence to rent out her flat, that just doesn't wash, does it? The rules apply to everybody, especially who makes them. And
which annoys you more, that rather lame excuse, or the Prime Minister saying, no, she's apologised and she's referred herself to the independent investigator, so nothing to see here, on we go.
Yeah, just doesn't wash, does it, Nick?
No.
And listening to her talk about her economic plans reminds me of that old Morecambe and Wise sketch where Eric's banging away at the piano. Andre Previn says to him, you're playing all the wrong notes. And Eric says, I'm playing all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order.
I loved that sketch. Kenneth, thank you for that. And you're right, that legal principle that you learnt at day one. Have a good day, Kenneth. Mark in St Albans, I'm thinking about robbing a bank. I've checked with my independent ethics advisor. They say it's okay, so I'm off to town later. Kim picks up on the fact Starmer saying there's no need for an investigation into Rachel Reeves. If that was Nigel Farage, you wouldn't be saying it. By the way, we don't need an investigation. It's plain and simple. She's got this wrong. Katie and Bushy, I'm wondering whether Rachel Reeves is trying to get herself sacked so she's not the one to deliver the budget next month. No, they'll be holding on to it. We might take calls on that. Also, coming up later in the show, we will be giving you that story about bring back those three-wheeled blue Invercars, urges a Reform MP. It's 8:46, LBC News headlines now. Simon Conway.
Rachel Reeves has admitted breaking rules over the letting of her family home, but Sir Keir Starmer says an investigation is not necessary. LBC has learned one of the UK's leading online pharmacies sold a weight loss jab to a severely anorexic woman. And Donald Trump has agreed to reduce tariffs on China after meeting President Xi in South Korea. LBC weather, dry and bright to start, then turning wet and windy from the west later, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still lots of problems on the trains. Gatwick Express services are completely suspended between Victoria and Brighton. It's for the emergency works. Southern are running between Clapham Junction and Watford Junction. And Chiltern Railways are delayed by about half an hour southbound, heading down to Gerrard's Cross. And that's because a train broke down earlier. Still some delays and cancellations on Greater Anglia services via Tottenham Hale. And that was after a signal failure. But things are improving on the Stansted Express. On the roads on the Kent stretch, the M25. It is very busy clockwise to Junction 2 at the A2 following an accident. And long delays continue on the M1 southbound from Junction 10 at Luton Airport to 8 at Hemel Hempstead after an accident and a car broke down.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the new LBC app.
Get that Euro Millions feeling with Friday's £65 million jackpot. Plus, 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. That's 10 more reasons to dance. 10 more robots, 10 more limbos, 10 more salsas. Friday's EuroMillions jackpot is £65 million. And 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC. Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4pm.
If you're in a position where another £1,000 to find is the difference between you going on holiday and you not going on holiday, I do actually think, for a week, the one family holiday you get to take that year is actually a good reason for you to miss school with your child.
Tom Swarbrick.
With cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
LBC.
Tax is changing from April 2026.
If you're a sole trader or a landlord
with a turnover above £50,000,
you'll need to use recognised software to keep records
and send quarterly updates of your income and expenses.
There's no avoiding it. Tax is changing. Get ready. Search HMRC Making Tax Digital.
Hi, I'm Piers Morgan. It's official. Woke is dead and I've written the obituary. Cancel celebs are emerging from social media jail and virtue signalling is punishable by ridicule. So what caused this shift? How did the silenced majority win? And what's next? In my new book, Woke is Dead, I explore the fall of woke culture and the return to a world of common sense over cancellation, seeking unity over division. You'll be shocked by how much you agree with me. Woke is Dead is out now.
A Southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cyber security from BT. Solutions to help any size business stay protected.
Let's continue our conversation about Rachel Reeves. It does seem quite incredible. The woman who's running the books of the country doesn't know she needs a licence to let out her property. 10 to 9. David's in Mill Hill. David, what do you do for a living? Good morning.
I have a mortgage broker and a financial consultant.
Right.
Basically, I've got no love for Rachel Reeves or the rest of the government. But in this case, I think you're lambasting her. Because at the end of the day, I've got professional landlords who I did mortgages for in Barnet and Enfield. Barnet does not need licences. Enfield does, and right. No one knows hold about on, these licences.
Are those people... I'm sorry, sir. Are these people involved in making laws?
Are these people... No, they're not. Right. No.
So this woman is not just a lawmaker. She's arguably... I know she's not Deputy Prime Minister, but she's second most powerful politician in the land. She's running the books of the country. If she can't work out, and remember what we just heard from Sir Mel Stride, that she was campaigning for a similar thing in her own constituency. So she is aware of them in her own constituency, but we are led to believe She's not aware of them where she lives in London. Discuss.
I will discuss. I think at the end of the day that she was obviously given her house to a letting agent. The letting agent should have known it and told her about it. Yes. The problem is that if you do not need a mortgage, or obviously she didn't because it's her own house, it's not highlighted anywhere. Therefore, she has fallen between the thing. I'm not excusing her in any way whatsoever.
Well, you are, respectfully.
Well, I'm not, because
at right at the top, you said that you've worked with clients in Barnet and some other boroughs, and they didn't
Enfield,
know.
Enfield needs a licence, but it's very, very confusing which ones need licence and which ones... And it's only a money-grabbing effort by the local authorities, £700.
Hang on, it may be very confusing, David, but this woman is running the account of the country.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I'm not excusing her in most things, but I would say this, I think it's going a little bit over the top.
All right, sir. Let's agree on that. Good luck. Oh, how is business, by the way? How is the property?
Not bad. It's not. One other thing I'd love to say. You did say that Ethiopian refugee should be up for Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong. I think it's I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
Who would go on that show, David? For goodness sake, no one would be interested in that. David, good luck with your business. Thank you. Let's get some of the social media. Now, this is a good point. Nicola says, and I have asked my colleagues this, I'm a letting agent in Southwark. Who is the letting agency? They must come forward with who the letting agency was and their audit trail of what information she was supplied with. I cannot believe she wasn't told. Well, I'll read that. I wouldn't for one moment suggest that the Chancellor would lie, but if we could find that... Imagine if you are that letting agency. I mean, it was, do you remember the Angela Rayner case broke down because she'd employed a conveyancing firm that had, like, one woman in it who'd just never really done any conveyancing before? These are people who are taking fairly seismic decisions in our lives. Alan's in Croydon. Alan, your view on this. Good morning.
Good morning. Two things. One, that the letting agent should be taken to court because they know all about it. I let in Croydon, and when we had to have licences, we were all told about it.
So you are a letting agent, or you have properties?
I have properties.
You have properties. Okay.
And the other thing is, today, about 200 to 300 people are going to a meeting in Croydon about licensing.
Sorry, the line's breaking up. The people are going to Croydon about what, sir?
There's meetings in Croydon today about whether they're going to bring licensing back.
I see. Okay.
It's a landlord's meeting, but I think they'll sign in as Rachel Weave rather than put our proper name on the register.
How much does a license cost typically?
I can't remember. It was stopped a couple of years ago. I think it was something like about £5,000 a year per unit.
And what does... And the local authority does nothing rather than grant a licence for that?
Well, they never came out and checked everything at all. It's just what it was. It's just a bit of way of making money.
So, lastly, you work in Croydon. It's not a million miles from Southwark. Have you ever rented property out in Southwark?
No, only in Croydon.
Only in Croydon. OK, there's no point asking you what's happening in Southwark. Good luck with your meeting. I hope it goes the way you require it, providing it's legal, of course. Peter in Potter's Bar. Peter, your reaction to the Rachel Reeves story. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's a pleasure talking to you. Any landlord that doesn't have a selective licence or any licence isn't breaking the rules, they are breaking the law.
Mm.
The selective licence is there to protect the tenant, to make sure they have an adequate gas safety certificate, electric certificate, and it is safe for them to live in. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
What should happen now, in your view?
Well, I would actually get the tenants to get a repayment order. The tenant claims their rent back because they haven't got the adequate licence. The council should prosecute her. If I was Joe Bloggs, an ordinary landlord, I would be prosecuted and I'll be fined. And I'll be made to make a rent repayable order.
You would, and let me give you an idea of the fine. Thank you for that, Peter. By the way, we need to correct this. Southwark Council, the licence there, by the way, costs £900, so not the some thousands that someone else mentioned, but that might be thousands in other boroughs or other areas, I don't know. And let me read you from the law, as Peter rightly pointed out. Failure to obtain a licence when required is deemed a criminal offence and thus can be punishable with an unlimited fine on prosecution. A fine of £30,000 as an alternative to prosecution, or the landlord can be ordered to pay back up to 12 months in rent. So, gosh, unlimited fine, £30,000 if you cough to it, not that I'm suggesting Rachel Reeves has done anything that's deliberate, or pay back 12 months rent. And seeing as it was on the market at £3,200 a month last year, they almost come in at the same figure, don't they? Max and Hammersmith. Max, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hello there. Hello. I think I'm repeating what other people have just begun to say.
Go on.
The, if you're having a driving test, the first thing the driving instructor says is, can I see your licence?
Yes.
And I think this letting agency is culpable.
Well, we cannot find the agency, but again, if you're the Chancellor of the Exchequer, do you not triple-check everything? And you are aware of licences? You've campaigned about licences in your own constituency? So then when you come... I was campaigning about these licences up in Leeds. Then you let out your own property in London, in Dulwich, and you just somehow managed to forget about it? What do you think?
Well, I think you're better than this. This is a triviality. It's the agency that should be... You should be interviewing the agency. You've got people in there. Find the agency, get them on, and grill them.
Absolutely. I hope you heard that. Get the agency on and grill them. At the moment, it's proving difficult to find where the agency is, but I will not be the only one. There will be all the media organisations in this country trying to track down whoever it is, and this story is not going to go away. Max, thank you. Larry's in Walthamstow. You're on the radio. Larry, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Hello, sir.
I've got a friend of mine who owned a little. Well, he owns a little block of flats with about six, eight flats there.
Yeah.
He tried to sell one of them. He couldn't sell it, so he decided to re-let it again. But obviously, because the licence had run out, the council came knocking on the door. They found out that he never had the licence. They went to the agent who let it for him, and they both got fined £19,500.
Sorry, on what grounds could they levy £19,500?
Yes, so the agent got fined £19,500 for letting it without a licence, and the landlord got fined £19,500 for not having the licence, even though he did have a licence previously, but because he tried to sell it, he couldn't sell it in the time that he wanted to get rid of it. He forgot to renew the licence. The agents told him that he's got to renew it. The council came knocking at the door, found out that people was living there without a licence, and fined the agent and the landlord £19,500.
Was this a mate of yours, did you say?
Yeah.
Why didn't he just say he was referring himself to his own ethics advisor? Then apparently everything goes away if you say that, Larry.
I didn't know that. I don't know. But I mean, the agent as well has also got to make sure that there's a gas safety certificate, an electrical safety certificate, an EPC. And also, there's a government website you can go on to check to see if the property has got a licence.
I do think, Larry... Well, no, I don't. I know this will just grow over the next 24 hours. Watch this space. And if we can find this letting agency, I assure you I'll be speaking with them. But music means we move on. And coming up after the news, we'll go back to the story that really did get so many of you speaking. The fact that the paedophile sex offender Hadesh Kabatu was sent off to Ethiopia with £500 of our money in his pocket, defended in part by policing and Crime Minister Sarah Jones.
They took the decision that in order to get him on that plane, they would give him the £500 so that we could get him out of the country. That saved us thousands of pounds.
Plus, the council who's fined a woman £100 after walking her dog without a waste bag, despite her dog not needing to go to the toilet. I'll identify the council and get into more detail of that story after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer has decided Rachel Reeves does not need to face an investigation into her breaking of local housing rules. The Chancellor's admitted she didn't get the correct licence to rent out her family home in Dulwich in London. The Prime Minister says he's consulted his ethics advisor and that Miss Reeves' apology is a sufficient resolution. But the Shadow Chancellor, Samuel Stride, has told LBC it's not good enough.
This is the Prime Minister on the steps of Downing Street when elected, said he was going to bring back integrity and transparency to government. And what we're seeing here is a quick exchange of letters last night to try and sweep this whole thing under the carpet. We just basically need a proper investigation into what has happened to establish exactly what the facts are. And that, unfortunately, is what the Prime Minister is saying he's just not prepared to do.
LBC has learned one of the UK's leading online pharmacies sold a weight loss jab to a severely anorexic woman. She used an AI-generated image to bypass Newman's checks to get hold of Wegovy. The woman's mother, Debbie, whose name and voice we've changed, says she could have died as a result.
I've been told by every practitioner that works with her that she is at serious risk of death. I have to regularly check her room for things like laxatives. But on that occasion, I found Wegovy, and I knew what that was. As a mother, when you see things like that, your heart just collapses.
Newman has apologised to Debbie and is promising to bring in extra verification tools. Donald Trump has agreed to lower some tariffs on Chinese goods after talks with his counterpart Xi Jinping. The US president says the meeting with him was amazing. He's told reporters Beijing will give the US better access to rare earths. It marks an easing of trade tensions between the world's two largest economies. The King says he is deeply concerned by the destruction from Hurricane Melissa. The storm has left more than 30 people dead and widespread damage across Cuba, Haiti and Jamaica. And there's been a neck-and-neck finish in the Dutch general election with 98% of votes counted. Geert Wilders' anti-Islam Party for Freedom is tied with the centrist D66. The latter party's leader, Rob Jetten, is expected to become the Netherlands' next prime minister. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 38 points at 97.16, and the pound buys $1.32 and €1.13. LBC weather, a dry, bright but chilly start, turning cloudier with some rain arriving from the west later and becoming windy, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Simon Conway.
Tuesday night on the sofa, watching telly with mum. Again.
Male hawkers stay with the mothers for life.
This is the moment Stephen chose to speak to Barclays about Mortgage Boost, so he could borrow more with help from family or friends. We're helping first-time buyers get on the property ladder sooner. Search Barclays Mortgages. Barclays. Make money work for you.
Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 3 minutes after nine, Thursday, October the 30th. Back to the biggest story of the day, the migrant sex offender given £500 so that he would get on that plane to Addis Ababa. He's subsequently given an interview. Well done to Sky News, and we'll play you some of that. We'll also go back to the future, as one prominent MP suggests we should bring back those three-wheel death traps, sorry, Invacars, for disabled drivers. Remember, one of the reasons they were taken off the roads, that they, with no notice, suddenly burst into flames, or burst into fire, I'm sorry, and the disabled person struggled to get out. Why on earth would you want to bring those back? Plus, the extraordinary story of the woman fined £100 for not carrying what's called a poo bag for her dog, but her dog did not get up to any foul behaviour.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Remember, one in, one out? Well, they did finally get one out yesterday, but it took an extra £500. Hadesh Kabatu, wrongly freed from Chelmsford prison last week. Of course, on the run through the weekend, now deported to Ethiopia, has given an interview to Sky News, in which he claims he tried to hand himself in to police a day before he was arrested, but he's ignored by officers. He even says the police officer just drove away. Remember, we had to give him an extra £500 to get him on the plane, but after he landed in Ethiopia, he spoke with Sky News, and he shared details of his accidental release and the two-day manhunt that ensued.
At that time, I am waiting more than 3 hours. Already the time is past. Who can responsible for me? Where is home office? Where is the immigrant? I will tell them, but also all of the experts are ignored me. At that time, somebody, the airpass, where is the station? Where is the train station? Someone helped me. I will take the ticket, £18. On the morning, Saturday, I get a police. Look here. Please, I am wanted man. I arrested. I will give you my hand. Please help him. Where is police station? He ignored me. He drive. I am not unknown. The police station, where is the place? I am not Google it, but also I gave the police. I will give you my hand. Please help me. Where is the police station? Take me. I am wanted. You know me, my image. My name is Hadesh Kabatu. I am national of Ethiopia police. I want the mistake release from Chelmsford prison. Please help me.
Now, in the first hour of the show, I spoke with the Police and Crime Minister, Sarah Jones. She was on to talk about, and let's celebrate that, 60,000 what are called blades have been taken off the streets. 60,000, no, they're called blades because sometimes they're knives, sometimes they're zombie knives, sometimes they're all sorts of, so they're called blades. So we celebrated that, but I obviously said we had to explore this story. And I asked the Minister, why was he given the money?
So the operation took the decision in that moment to offer him money, which I know is quite galling and sticks in the throat a bit with all of us, I would say. They took the decision because he was on a commercial flight. We do not spend taxpayers' money on military planes or private jets or anything like that for these people. We put them on commercial flights with people who are going on their holidays or going to visit relatives. They took the decision that in order to get him on that plane, they would give him the £500 so that we could get him out of the country. That saved us thousands of pounds. If we hadn't have been able to get him on that plane, then he would have been held for another day. There would have been new flights have to be booked. It would have cost £10,000. So the choice was 500 versus 10,000. And I think in terms of use of taxpayers' money, that was the right decision to make.
Minister, my question was, did he become disruptive or did he say he would launch another legal bid? Which was it?
Well, it could have been a combination of the two. I don't know the conversation that he had with those people, but I know that the decision was made to give him that money.
How do we get to a figure of £10,000?
Because he was escorted by five people to make sure. Obviously, these are normal flights with normal people. So you have to make sure there are people with
this person. But why five? Minister, I've spoken with David Wood, who was the Director General of Immigration Enforcement at the Home Office. You might know him. The usual complement is two, at the maximum three. Why five?
I couldn't tell you why there were five in this case. He's obviously a nasty criminal we wanted out of the country, and we wanted to make sure he left. So that was the decision that was made. If we had to rebook those flights, it would have cost us thousands of pounds. And we made
the decision. But you're not answering. Normally it's two, sometimes it's three. The compliment here was five. You don't know why it was needed so many.
That was the operational decision.
I mean, this is someone who was compliant, wasn't he?
Well, this is an operational decision that I wasn't part of. I'm sure they made a judgment based on the best information that they had and their probable much experience in this in this situation. So we are increasing the number as well, I should say, of foreign national offenders who we are deporting. We have sent about 5,000 back to their home country over the last year. That is an increase, and that is a good thing.
You sent 5,000 this year?
Over the last year in terms of the number of foreign national offenders who have left these shores, who we have sent back. And I think
so
most
often
of
I hear the figure 35,000.
That's people who have no right to be in the country.
I see, so that's 5,000 of the 35,000.
These are people who are convicted criminals. Yeah.
I see, okay. How were the funds transferred to the criminal? Was it cash?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that. I could go away and find out.
Well, I've done some work on this, again from the former Director General of Immigration Enforcement at the Home Office, who tells me it will have been a pre-authorised card that he would then be able to use the money. So they always knew then that they might have to make a payment such as this to Kabatu.
I think there has always been a system where some payments are sometimes made in order to get people on the planes and get them out of the country. I don't think that is a new thing. I think that is something that has existed.
But how are you going to not this allow to become a precedent, Minister? This now, someone you want to get to Libya, Ethiopia again, Sudan. This will become a precedent, won't it? If you kick off, you'll get £500.
I think the decision in this case that was made was the right one, galling though it is. And I see your point, which is why on earth are we giving criminals money and sending them on their way? I absolutely see your point. But in this case, it got him out of the country. He's no longer here, and that's a good thing.
OK, lastly on this, Mr. Lammy has launched an inquiry. How long will that take?
He's asked for that to be relatively quick. Obviously, people want the answers as soon as possible. It's Lynn Owens, who you'll know from her time as Deputy Commissioner in the Met, and she will be, I'm sure, very thorough, but she'll also want to get to the bottom of this as quickly as we can.
But what is relatively quick? I mean, are we talking weeks, months?
Yes, I think we're talking. I would say within a few months max, yes.
They've got everything under fingertip control, haven't they, these ministers? That was Sarah Jones, Policing and Crime Minister. Mike in Swansea. Mike, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I wanted to just say that listeners mustn't forget that asylum seekers are transiting multiple other EU countries before getting here. Yep. So I think people need to remember it's not it's not about being racist, it's about what's actually right. And all of these countries have the responsibility to house these people and to provide them with asylum.
And just the man we were talking about in the previous hour who murdered the fellow up in Derby, he was convicted of reports and arrests in Italy, Germany, Holland, Luxembourg, before he came to the UK.
Why are we taking them in? I know it's exactly right. The other thing I wanted to say, you know, years ago when they were talking, or a couple of years ago when Nigel Farage was talking about coming out of the ECHR, I thought that was quite dangerous, and I didn't agree with that. But as time has gone on, I think I'm more swayed to, I think that's probably what we need to be doing. I would also say that, a bit like when we came out of the EU, we should still adopt pretty much every single principle, because I think it's so important that we follow those guidelines. But there needs to be some exceptions where we are able to put our country first, we are able to put our citizens first over other people that are coming in here that we haven't been able to vet. So I think if we do come out of it, we need to adopt 99.5 or 99.9% of it, but we should be able to have the right to
But it's this idea choose. That no nation can possibly have human rights unless it's signed up to. New Zealand has an exemplary record of human rights. They don't belong to any other convention. They simply look after their own human rights. And I could take you to other countries around the world. Why do we think we can only do it if we're in something they call the EHC? We just do our own.
Yeah, maybe then that's what we do. I would just also like to say this on the subject of the £500.
Yes.
If I was going to kick off because I was being sent back to a country I've tried to escape from, I would be asking for a significant amount more than £500 to keep me quiet and get me on that aeroplane.
That's virtually a year's salary in Addis Ababa, Mike. So that would be akin to someone offering you, I think the average salary is somewhere in the region of, let's say, £25,000. Please, Nick, get on the plane now and we'll give you £25,000. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
No, I think it shows me that that's just part of the course. That's what they do.
But what are we going to do, lastly, and a point I tried to explore with the minister, I don't think we've really got a satisfactory answer. This will now could set a precedent in that every time anyone is approaching the way they, hopefully they turn right and they sit them down and fly them out, they'll just say, actually, I'm going to kick off, or I'm going to launch an appeal, or I'm just going to jump up and down on the plane, unless you give me £500.
No, my point is, I think they probably give them £500 anyway. They just don't want to admit it. They had a caller on earlier that said the same thing, and I must say, I'm inclined to agree with him.
Well, I can tell you, I'm just trying to find it. There is a facility. Here we go. By the way, you're right. Here we go. The Home Office operates what's called an FRS, a facilitated return scheme that allows foreign offenders to receive handouts of up to £1,500 if they agree to leave this country. Mike, thank you for that. This does track back, because we were very fortunate to be able to speak to someone who had been the immigration enforcement officer, David Wood, right at the start of the show. And he is the one who effectively gave me the points that I put to the minister. Normally, as you heard in the interview, normally it takes two, maximum three. Why did it take five? There's no way they carry cash, so they had a pre-authorised card on them. And the point I made, with this how high profile this was, I assure you, if I was the Justice Secretary or the Home Secretary, and Lord knows the country's suffering enough, but it would have been, I want you to talk me through as you put this bloke on the plane. I want to hear him. I want to hear you walk on. I want to hear him put the seatbelt on. And I want to hear if he goes for the chicken or the vegetarian option. I want to hear, and I want you to take, as the wheels go up, the last second you got, I just want you to text me that we're off. Why was there not that attention to detail? Rudy, you'll be the next caller on that. Let's just feature a couple of your texts and emails. Mike in Crawley, who I remind you, of course, was in law enforcement. Paying a bribe to deport people, is there a sliding scale? Mild language, £100. Passive resistance, £200. Kicking and screaming, £500. I'm just wondering, says Mike. Dawn in Beckenham, the criminal should never have been given £500. It amounts to a reward. All right, coming up, we go back to the future. As an MP says, we should go back to those three-wheeled Invacars for disabled drivers. Did you have one, or did you know someone who did? I remember them vividly when I was first starting to drive. And I don't think they had a steering wheel. I think they had almost like a motorbike control. I'm pretty certain if you had one, if granddad had one, or whoever it might be, dad, I suppose. Am I right in thinking it was almost, bear in mind, they're incredibly precarious because they're on three wheels. There was some fault in them that they would often blow up in flames and the person couldn't get out. And they were driving it as if it was a motorbike. I think the last of those will need to be confirmed. We'll get more in a minute. 9:15, LBC News headlines. Simon Conway.
Sir Keir Starmer says an investigation is not necessary after the Chancellor admitted breaking local housing rules. LBC has learned one of the UK's leading online pharmacies sold a weight loss jab to a severely anorexic woman. Donald Trump has agreed to lower some tariffs on Chinese goods after talks with his counterpart Xi Jinping. LBC weather, dry and bright to start, then turning wet and windy from the west later, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. On the motorways, the M25 is very busy clockwise at Junction 2 at the A2. It's because of an accident and one lane is closed. And then on the A2, it's very busy westbound up to Gillingham, and that's also after an accident. Back to the motorways, the M1 slow southbound to Junction 10 at Luton Airport, and that's following an accident. Also delays in Woodford Green. The Chigwell roads had to be closed both ways. And in Mitcham, Upper Green is closed eastbound, also after an accident. On the trains, no Gatwick Express services running in Southern Cart run between Clapham Junction and Watford Junction. And on the Underground, there's no service for the Metropolitan line between Baker Street and Aldgate, and there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line.
This is LBC.
Get that Euro Millions feeling with Friday's £65 million jackpot. Plus, 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. That's 10 more reasons to dance. 10 more robots, 10 more limbos, 10 more salsas. Friday's EuroMillions jackpot is £65 million. And 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
For anyone needing assistance when travelling with TfL, such as people with visual or mobility impairments, our Turn Up and Go service has staff on hand to help. It's available at all London Underground, London Overground and Elizabeth Line stations, and there's no need to book. Just turn up and go. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 4.5% AER variable. That includes a 2% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that once-in-a-lifetime adventure. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18 plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.41% gross. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protect your small business and understand cybersecurity.
To have full comprehension of this story, you have to be of a certain vintage that you can remember those 1960s three-wheeled free cars for disabled people. They were sort of known in slang as Invercars. Now, they were taken out of service, not least because they are, I never drove one, but they are incredibly easy to topple. Obviously, if you're disabled, then you've got issues to try and get out, let alone to right the car. And also, on occasions, they would burst into flames. So that was one of the reasons that they were phased out. Well, for one MP, it's time to bring them back. Reform UK's Lee Anderson.
The motability scheme's got completely out of hand. One in five, I think, new cars on the road now are a motability car. I know people, through doing this job and working at CAB before, that will claim PIP, the higher rate mobility, for a family member, and that family member will never get to use that car, apart from maybe once or twice a year. They go to the hospital in the car, and the rest of the time their family are driving about in a brand new BMW on their drive. It's not fair. And I think the chief exec of Motability gets about £500,000 a year. Where's that money coming from? It's supposed to be a charity. The chief financial officer gets about £400,000 a year. It's an absolute scandal, the Motability scheme is. I mean, I remember back in the day, if you were on disability and you wanted the car from the state, it was a blue three-wheeler. Anybody remember those? What's wrong with that? Let's go back to that.
Well, the thing that was wrong was they burst into flames, by the way, Mr. Anderson. One thing is true, the statistics that he said, it is roughly one in five new cars on the road are motability cars. We have looked at that, and there is some truth to that. And my thanks to John. My late father had a cornflower blue three-wheel Invercar in the 1970s, and it did have motorbike controls. What was the thing? Why didn't you give these folk a steering wheel? Dr. Hannah Belcher is a lecturer and researcher specialising in mental health and autism. And I understand in the context of this conversation, you are in receipt of PIP. Is that correct? Good morning.
Morning. Yes, that's right.
Doctor, how does this work as regards a Motability car? What is the payment that is made by the recipient?
So, as part of the Mobility, there's two components. So you have the care component and also the Mobility component. But to get the Motability scheme, you'd need to be on the higher rate of the Mobility component, which is quite hard to get.
What is it that you have to satisfy? What are the requirements?
The requirements would be quite severe disability, which would quite severely impact your ability to move around, travel, all those kind of things. And you'd need to satisfy the criteria that your condition was affecting you in those areas quite severely.
You say they're given cars. You're not given the car, are you? This is then taken out of your PIP, is it right?
Yes, completely. So you get the mobility allowance, and then the Motability scheme allows you to give your that component over to them to then lease a car.
And typically, what is the leasing going to be?
What do you mean? The car or
The amount. How much money might that be?
Probably looking at something like around 300-ish a month, which is the same price you'd pay for leasing a car not through the Motability scheme. If you were just paying out of your own pocket, anyone could go and lease a car for that amount of money.
Well, I don't think you'd get a BMW or a Mercedes for £300 a month, would you?
You would if you had the money behind you to put quite a big down payment on it. That's not coming out of PIP, that's coming out of a person's own pocket.
So you have to plonk down, let's say, £10,000, and then you can get £300 per month or whatever.
Yeah, the same as anyone could if they were wanting to lease a BMW.
The MP thinks that it's a scandal. What would you say to him, Doctor?
No, I don't think that's based on any fact at all. I think they know it's not a scandal. I think they're purposely stirring up hate and stigma because they know the public are going to be really annoyed that, you know, disabled people are allowed to get really expensive cars that they can't get. I think they understand and actually know, but they're just purposely driving up this kind of hatred.
To what end?
To get votes, I think. I think they know that there's a lot of stigma around disability.
How does beating up on disabled folk win you votes, do you imagine?
Because they're stirring up a problem that isn't a problem. They've created a non-issue. Disabled people have been getting getting Motability allowance for a really long time, and now it's coming to the public eye, and that, you know, all this thing about someone with ADHD, someone with eczema is getting a BMW. The facts don't actually support that. They're trying to cure a non-issue, a problem that doesn't exist.
You don't think there is some abuse going on, as the MP cited?
I'm in absolutely no doubt there will be some abuse going on, but the solution to that is not to scrap the Motability scheme or, you know, affect actual disabled people's choice of car. It's to actually look into that in more detail.
Might I ask if you will have a Motability vehicle?
I don't know.
Okay, but presumably you have friends to whom it's the lifeline, that they're able to go to work or see family or go to hospitals or whatever it might be.
Yeah, totally. And the one thing that's really important is the choice of car, because different cars are needed for different disabilities, and, you know, you need to adapt them for different disabilities too.
Dr. Hannah Belcher, thank you. You're a lecturer and researcher specialising in mental health and autism, and you are on PIP. Thank you for your background on that. David's in Eastbourne. What can you tell me about these cars? David, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, I was an instructor in the 70s, a driving instructor, and I went on a disabled course in Cambridge.
Oh, right. Did you drive one of them?
Sorry, you had to drive one, but on private property, because you had to be disabled to drive, to have one and be able to drive one. But the thing was, there was just a single person, one door at the side, handlebars, pop, 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 pop along the road. But what you had to do, you had to get somebody in there, you had to explain all the controls to them, then off they go, and you had to run alongside shouting out instructions.
Hold on a second.
Could you imagine that in the middle of Cambridge?
They were single-seater vehicles, right?
Oh, yeah. Engines behind them.
What size of engine was it? Can you remember what it was?
It was probably only a little motorbike or a scooter engine. The exhaust was the size of a 15mm copper pipe.
And did it have a boot? If the folk wanted to do some shopping or something, where did they put it?
I think you had a little bit of room behind you. That's about it. In the cab.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So did you say you did actually drive? So you ran alongside them shouting at people in Cambridge. But did you actually drive one?
Well, we went on private property to drive one because we obviously had to drive one for them to be able to instruct on one.
And it had motorbike controls?
Yeah. Which, when you think, is better because everything's to hand. If you've got a steering wheel, it takes up a lot of room.
Yes.
And you'd have to have... So you've got the brakes. This for that.
There's no gears on this car. It's just drive and neutral.
Just drive
neutral and reverse. Drive neutral and reverse. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a twist-and-go scooter, effectively.
That's right.
And
but I'll tell you what, when I was up on this course in Cambridge, there was, you wouldn't remember them, but they were just going out of phase then, a long three-wheeler, big wheels at the back, little wheel at the front, and the pedals you used to do with your hands.
No. What?
Yeah.
This was not a car. No, this wasn't a car.
No, this was...
A bicycle.
Yeah, where the person, disabled person sat in there.
Hang on, the disabled person had to sit in one of these and pedal pedal themselves along with their hands.
With their hands, yeah.
What was that called?
I don't know what it was called.
I'll have to try and look it up.
I can't remember, mate. But it was just a column come up, and it used to drive the front wheels.
Good grief. How easy or otherwise were they to drive, lastly, these Inver cars? You must have felt... He was going to go over any minute.
Oh, yeah. They had to be very careful. bit like old Dell boys, really.
Were they allowed on motorways, David, can you recall?
No. DC was too small.
They couldn't get up a hill. David, thank you for taking us back all those memories. Safe driving to you now. Kevin's in Lee on Sea. Kevin, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Firstly, to answer your questions on why were these three-wheeled tricycles with a plastic body on them not still being used today is because they were horrendously dangerous and unsafe vehicles.
It's outrageous. They used to catch a light, apparently.
Because they just basically had a motorbike engine in the back under a fiberglass body. But they were designed with tiller steering because they could be driven on motorbike licenses as well. That's why. So they were basically a three-wheeled motorbike with a plastic body on them. And, of course, they were built near where I am in Benfleet. The factory was down there that used to manufacture them.
Are there any still on the road? I mean, obviously, they'd be a collector's item now. Oh, you probably won't be able to take it on the road, actually. I suppose they're illegal now, aren't they?
No. I think they would qualify for historical vehicle, vintage vehicle now. Oh, so you could take them on the road, but
I want to drive one round Brands Hatch.
I would advise wearing some very comfortable safety equipment.
Oh, that'd be fantastic coming around Druids.
But that's why. But I mean, the other thing I would just like to say, Nick, as well, is I just think this is another ludicrous comment from the Reform MP. And as a Conservative councillor, I think that Lee Anderson has found his natural home in Reform.
Thanks for that, councillor. Look after the good folk of Lee on Sea. Let's get one more call in. Michael's in Upminster. Your father had one, is that right?
Yes, he did. He lost a leg in 1942 in the Second World War.
Okay, right.
And he was given we used to call them a jalopy.
Right.
And it was blue, had a single wheel at the front, two at the back, sliding door, and he would drive. And it wasn't a steering wheel. There was a bar that he would use.
Mm.
And when he got rid of that, he then had a Vauxhall Victor, which had hand controls.
Right.
So your previous caller was talking about these hand controls. There were two levers on the right-hand side by the steering wheel. The top one was for the clutch, and the bottom one was for the accelerator.
Ah.
And he used to drive that on the motorways.
Were you ever able to get in the car with your dad, or was there just not enough room?
Yes, I got in with my dad. I was born in the 50s, so he'd finish work. I'd meet him at the top of the road, and then I'd get in the vehicle, and then he'd turn the engine off, and we would coast down our road. To then pull up outside the house. I can still hear the sliding sound of the door as it opened.
Oh.
They were great memories.
They are great memories, and thank you for sharing. Best wishes to you, and of course, the time you had with your dad. All right, we might return to Invercars. We'll definitely return to the row over the 500 quid bung to the paedophile to get him on the plane to Addis Ababa. But we come back home as well. The woman fined £100 for not carrying a dog, what's called poo bag. But the dog had not got up to any foul behaviour. We'll look at that in more detail. It's 9:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Newstime, Simon Conway.
The Prime Minister says there is no need for Rachel Reeves to face an investigation over her breaking of local housing rules. The Chancellor's admitted she failed to apply for a licence to rent out her home in Dulwich in London. LBC has learned one of the UK's largest online pharmacies sold a weight loss jab to a severely anorexic woman. Newman has apologised and has promised to strengthen strengthen its verification checks. Virgin Trains is a step closer to being able to compete with Eurostar on Channel Tunnel services. A regulator has approved the company's application to share a train depot in East London. LBC weather, a dry, bright but chilly start, turning cloudier with some rain arriving from the west later and becoming windy, a high of 15 degrees.
This is LBC.
Mark's best friend Ben follows him around. Ben's there when he wakes up in the morning. He's there when he goes to the pub. He's there at dinner time. He never leaves him. Ben died in Iraq in 2004. The trauma of that day has never left Mark. For many, the battle continues. Combat Stress provides intensive mental health treatment to UK veterans with complex mental health problems. Combat Stress, for veterans' mental health. Search Combat Stress to support our work.
Trains are three bridges for two adults, one skeleton and one fairy werewolf, as you do.
Just one pumpkin each, kids! Charlie, not that one, mate. It's nearly as big as you.
Back on the train with two little monsters and a couple of pumpkins. Now off home to spend a good 3 hours carving. Download the Thameslink Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Thameslink Railway, where every stop is a story.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
Another example where local authorities... Was it yesterday we were talking about local authorities and they've decided to work a four-day week? They seem to forget. It's quite simple for local authorities. We pay them to work for us. It's not a very difficult equation to work out. But here's another local authority deciding to pursue a woman for not carrying a poo bag, even though her dog didn't get up to any dirty business. The council fining a woman £100 after walking a dog without a waste bag. West Northamptonshire Council... Give me the towns of West Northamptonshire, much as we learnt about South Cambridgeshire. Let's find out what constitutes West Northamptonshire. Find the woman, who's known only as Paula, on the spot because she'd forgotten a waste bag for her Welsh Springer Spaniel. Have we got a name for the dog? No, we haven't even got a name for the dog. Paula said she knew it was a legal requirement to clean up after your dog, but not that it was a legal requirement to carry a waste bag. She said she's been punished for a poo she didn't do. Her words, not mine. Critics have called the fine overbearing, big state intervention by the council, which is under reform control. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Perhaps Mr. Anderson, instead of trying to get disabled people back into death traps, should have been wondering why a local authority, which is in the same political party as him, is fining a woman £100. In an interview, Paula told the BBC the dog had already been out for her business that day. It was a very short walk through the town centre, so I knew that she wasn't going to do anything. Unusually, I didn't have any in my pockets, so I was unable to say that I had a poo bag with me. What happened? I was fined on the spot, £100, I'm sorry if you're having your breakfast, for a poo she didn't do. I honestly thought I'd be given words of advice, told off, told what the law was, so I knew next time, but there was no movement. The enforcement officer was polite, was polite, but very firm. The council says it's really important for owners to always have the means to pick up after their dogs. I better read you what West... Have we found where? What constitutes West Northamptonshire? Here we go. Oh, Northampton itself. Oh, I know this area. It's Silverstone, then. Toaster, Daventry. I don't know Brackley, but I know Toaster, Daventry, Northampton and Brackley. The local council, West Northamptonshire, says dog fouling is a blight and serious health hazard. Most dog owners are responsible and pick up after their dogs, but there are some who purposefully don't. The risk of a fine, if found not to be carrying bags or not having a good reason for not having one, is an effective deterrent. And then they go, honestly, I've read enough of that now. I'll read anymore. This is madness. Do you remember the old principle in this country? You're innocent until proven guilty. Well, now you're guilty even if you're innocent. And this is the lengths to which these ghastly local authorities... It was the woman in Richmond, wasn't it? That's right. There was a woman in Richmond who poured coffee... That's right. I think she had a refillable cup. The bus arrives. She's finishing... She has not finished her coffee. She wants to get on the bus, and she's fined. I think it was £50 in Richmond because she poured the remains of her coffee cup. Oh, I'm so sorry, £150. My apologies. £150 for pouring the remains of her morning coffee down the street drain. Three enforcement officers chasing down the road and giving a fixed penalty notice. I think subsequently the local authority there have cancelled it. But what are these ghastly local authorities doing? So that's a woman with a coffee. This is a woman walking a dog. I would have thought it's against the basic tenets of British, of English and English law. Ursula's in Hindhead. Ursula, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi. Well, this is a pet hate of mine because I have four grandchildren.
Yes.
I am constantly steering them around dog poop.
Oh, I know, it's awful.
So
terrible.
The way I see it, if the bylaw says you have to carry a poop bag, you have to carry a poop bag. You don't know when a dog's going to poop. It might have done a poop, but it might do another poop, and you have no way of knowing.
It didn't.
Yeah, but you didn't know it wasn't going to. You didn't know it wasn't going to. And if it had, how would you have cleaned it up?
Hold on, that's like me being stopped doing 20 miles an hour, and a police officer say, you might be about to do 30. I'm going to do you. Well, I'm not doing 30. Oh, but you might be, because you've got quite a fast car, and I know that you're running late, so I think you are going to do that, so I'm going to fine you. You can't fine something for something that's not happened.
But it could have happened.
Well,
and she wouldn't have been...
There could have been a nuclear strike on West Northamptonshire, where if my granny had had wheels, she could have been a bus. Where does this end, this coulda?
Okay, so this woman's dog does poop...
But it didn't!
...unexpectedly, and she can't clean it up.
But Ursula, it did not defecate...
But it could have done, and she should have had a poop bag on her.
What?
Unless she was going to pick it up and put it in her handbag, she needed a poop bag.
Well, perhaps she... Okay, if you're going to go to the straight lengths, then I will too. Perhaps she had some tissues, and she would have picked it up and put it in her handbag, or put it in her pocket. You can't find... You cannot... I know there are the laws there, but I think West Northamptonshire... I genuinely think there's a legal challenge here, because this person has been found guilty of something that's not actually been committed. I know the bylaws are there, I get it, but I do think they're open to challenge, Ursula. Do you not?
Do you have a dog?
Used to.
Do you have a dog?
Used to. Love dogs. Yeah, I lost him about...
Yeah. Do you have any
grandchildren? 8 years ago, and my lifestyle doesn't allow for it.
Do you have any grandchildren?
I have three grandchildren.
Do you ever take them for a walk?
Yes, what are you, a police officer? Yes, I do, yes.
Can you count the poops?
Are you a detective or a caller? Which are you?
I am a grandma who's sick to death of my grandchildren having to be steered away from irresponsible people's dog poop.
If this dog had fouled, then I'm absolutely on the same page as you. But this woman has been fined... Go ahead.
My answer to that is this woman had no idea whether her dog would poop again or not.
Lastly, Ursula, laws can't be based on ifs. They have to be based on robust facts that can be proven in court. This dog did not relieve itself.
The dog was liable to, and the law says you have to have a poop bag in case your dog poops.
You are right, and I'm very sorry to hear about that with your grandchildren. And we all know the dangers, of course, that with dog feces, if they get in the eye, they can turn the child blind. So I remember with my boys as well, who obviously I was with my sons a lot more than I'm my grandchildren, we go out and play football on Blackheath, where sadly there was a bit of dog poop occasionally. I'm absolutely get you, Ursula, but and good luck with your grandchildren, look after them, and long may they stay clear of the mess. But I this is really weird that you're guilty. You can't even prove you're innocent. You're guilty. Done. Boom. Ursula, thank you. We'll come back to that conversation. But we're talking about the Reform UK. And this is a reform area, by the way. Reform Council. Be careful what you wish for. Suddenly be chased down the street because you've got a poo bag. David's in Windsor to talk Invercars. David, what can you tell me? You work in the industry, do you?
Yes, I work in the industry. And, Nick, it's a total scam, this Motability business. I work for the big three prestige manufacturers, so BMW, Audi, Mercedes.
Right.
And it's just massively abused.
Tell me how it's abused. I arrive at your place and I say that I've got stress or something, and you give me a car.
No, so basically an individual will have PIP, so they'll be allocated PIP, they'll be eligible for PIP. But that individual can come in and buy a car under PIP. Now, the down payments that your other caller was saying earlier is not right. They're very small down payments. And
give me an idea, 500 quid or something, I don't know.
A couple of grand, but you could be looking at a 40 to 50,000 pound car.
2 grand will get me a 40 grand Mercedes.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the worst thing is...
And then what am I giving you? Then you get my PIP. Sorry, the manufacturer gets my PIP through the...
No, the manufacturer is paid for by the company, Motability, right. And Motability get the PIP payment. So effectively what happens is, the way it's being abused is that people are coming in and getting a car and then giving it to their children to drive around. So we're seeing massive amounts of individuals claiming that the car's for them, but then it's being used by another family member and they're getting a nice shiny BMW or Audi to drive around and they're like, you know, 2021 for a very small payment and very small monthlies, which doesn't obviously come out of their pocket.
The figures, which do seem to be true, 20% of new vehicles on the roads are Motability cars, David. I imagine if you're working in the trade, you probably see that day in, day out.
It's a massive part of the business. It's a massive part of the business. And actually, you know, a lot of the dealers do actually rely on that element now. But I would personally say that probably 90% of these claims are abused, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, it's as high as
that. Do they have any shame? Do they sort of smile or wink at you when they do it? Or they're just completely shameless as they do it?
Completely shameless, actually. You know, we had one lady in that was openly admitting that, you know, her mum's was getting the pips, so the car should have been for her, but she was driving the car. It was effectively her car.
So lastly, I give you a grand. I've got keys to a £40,000 Mercedes. What is the pip payment that will then, roughly, how much is my pip going to be a month towards the car? Roughly, a couple of hundred quid, £300-£400?
Yeah, about £300 to £400, and ultimately, your pip will cover that. So you won't see it out of your pocket.
And is it like leases I've done myself? So after 3 years, I come back and get a new Mercedes, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you return the car, and that's the other thing as well, Nick. The cars come back absolutely destroyed inside, smoking them, dirty, everything, you know. And then they obviously have to be disposed of for a closed auction, but they come back in a right state.
Oh, so there's no on-sale potential with most of the vehicles that are returned then?
They're just so abused after, you know, it's very difficult to on-sell them.
And then lastly, after I then give you another 2K, do I? And
we, yeah, you'd have to do another down payment again.
And off you go again.
Yeah, but the reality is, if you were to buy that car as a personal, private individual, you'd be looking at, you know, £10,000-£20,000 deposit to get to the same payment.
And I pay my servicing and tyres, or is that included?
All included. So insurance, tax.
Insurance?
It's all included, yeah.
Insurance, tax, tyres, servicing, breakdown?
Yeah, it's all included.
Almighty.
All included, yeah.
Bottle of champagne every Friday? I mean, this is extraordinary.
It is, and you know, we've got hard-working people that are trying to save up for a nice car, and they're struggling to get what they want, and then you get these people that just walk in and walk out.
All right, away from this, apart from Motability, how's business?
It's very challenging at the moment. Everyone's waiting for the budget, to be honest, and you know, has a big effect on customer, you know, confidence in spending money on an item like a car. So
it's the same for you, mate. It's the same for hospitality. It's the same for housing. I hope you have a good budget. David, thanks for all the facts there. That's the reality from the coalface of trying to sell cars. My goodness. Let's go back dog walking. Chris in Hemel Hempstead. Chris, do you have sympathy for this woman? I do. Do you? Good morning.
No.
Oh, why not?
No, I don't. I have six dogs. And in Hertfordshire, if you don't carry three poo bags with you when you're walking a dog, then you can face a fine of up to £150. What, so you have to carry those dog poo bags. So that
sorry, it's one bag per dog. Is it one dog per bag?
No, three per dog.
So you've got three dogs. So you've got nine on you.
Six dogs.
Oh, wow. We've got six dogs.
I don't walk them all at the same time. I take two out at a time. But
so
I
you've
carry
always got six
bags with me.
What happens if you fill a bag? You know, so you walk out.
Well, that's why you've got that amount, because you can use two of them and then you've still got a spare one. So if you can, you know, tell them that you have used them, that's fine.
But hold on. Okay, so I'm in, where are you? I'm in Hemel and I get stopped and I've got two dogs and I've only got one bag. I'll just say, well, they've already been five times, so I've used five of my six bags up, mate.
No, you could say that, and as long as you've got a bag left on you, then you'll be absolutely fine, I presume.
Do you see people challenged regularly, Chris, or not?
No, never. But I do see a lot of dog owners let their dog poo and then just walk away. Don't pick it up.
No, that is
which I don't agree with.
No. Six dogs. Do you mind my asking? Are they all the same breed?
Well, one of them, he's a staff, and I've had him for 10 years now. I rescued him when he was 3 years old, so he's nearly 13.
Oh, bless you.
And then the other five dogs are a family. I was gifted a little dog, a male dog.
Right.
And then it was a little female dog that was the mother-in-law's dog, and unfortunately she fell ill and went into hospital.
Right.
So we took her dog in, not knowing it was in season.
Ah.
My little boy dog wouldn't stay off of her. we ended up having three pups, and then her mum, my mother-in-law, passed away, unfortunately, and my wife was like, we're keeping them. So we and ended up keeping the three pups.
The dog is a staffy, and the bitch is, which is a female others, dog, before anybody shouts.
The other five, the family, so the dad, he's a cross Shih Tzu Yorkshire Terrier.
Wow.
The mum is a cross Jack Russell Chihuahua. And then the three pups are a mix of that, and they are beautiful dogs. Oh, they really are. They're three girls we got of them. So. But then I went and got his nuts chopped off, so he couldn't do it again.
Well, there we go. That's what happens in Hemel Hempstead. He's had his fun. He's got three to one to have. Enough of that. Chris, safe walking with the dogs. Thank you. 9:46, LBC News headlines. Simon Conway.
The Conservatives say Rachel Reeves' position is not tenable after she failed to apply for a licence to rent out her home. LBC has learned one of the UK's leading online pharmacies sold a weight loss jab to a severely anorexic woman. And five more suspects have been arrested over the theft of French crown jewels from the Louvre. LBC weather, dry and bright to start, turning wet and windy from the west later, a high of 15 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the M1 southbound to Junction 1 at Staples Corner. It's because a car's broken down. And also one lane's closed on the M25 clockwise at Junction 2 at the A2. And that's following an accident. In Mitcham, Upper Green is closed eastbound after an accident. And also delays in Woodford Green. Chigwell Road's had to be closed both ways at Manor Road. And that's also after an accident. No Gatwick Express trains running. That's the entire line because of some emergency works, which also means that Southern trains aren't running between Clapham Junction and Watford Junction. On the Underground, there's no service for the Circle Line anti-clockwise, and the Metropolitan Line remains suspended between Baker Street and Aldgate.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Another day, another cabinet member caught in a property crisis or scandal. How much trouble do you think Rachel Reeves is in?
James O'Brien on LBC.
I'm literally crying.
Same, but my bladder can't take these laughs. I may have to leave.
Wait, try one of my always discreet maximum protection pants. Total game changer when the floodgates open up.
Seriously?
It gives me complete peace of mind, even for my heaviest bladder leak surprises. Go try one on.
Fair play. And now I can stay until the last gag.
Try always discreet's new maximum protection pants for heavy bladder leaks.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC. Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m.
If you're in a position where another £1,000 to find is the difference between you going on holiday and you not going on holiday, I do actually think, for a week, the one family holiday you get to take that year is actually a good reason for you to miss school with your child.
Tom Swarbrick.
With cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
LBC.
For anyone needing assistance when travelling with TfL, such as people with visual or mobility impairments, our Turn Up and Go service has staff on hand to help. It's available at all London Underground, London Overground and Elizabeth Line stations, and there's no need to book. Just turn up and go. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Chase is the digital bank that could boost your savings.
Ooh, tell me more.
When you join Chase, you could earn 4.5% AER variable. That includes a 2% AER fixed boost for 12 months on top of our standard saver rate.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yep, our savings boost could help you reach your goals, like that once-in-a-lifetime adventure. Get our best easy access saver offer today. Search Chase Boosted Saver. Offer may be withdrawn at any time. 18 plus UK residents available to new current account customers for your first 31 days. Eligibility applies. 4.41% gross. Terms apply.
The £5 meal deal from McDonald's. Get a cheeseburger or mayo chicken, medium fries, four McNuggets and a medium soft drink for guess what? That's right, £5. It's not called the £5 meal deal for nothing. From 11 a.m. Not available on delivery. Carbonated soft drink upgrade fees apply. Participating restaurants subject to availability.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Protecting businesses of all sizes against cyber threats.
Well, we're mixing two very different subjects. We'll go out walking with the dogs again in a moment. Meanwhile, we're climbing on board our river cars, or rather the motability cars, which, according to some, is one big car con. Stephen's in Glasgow. What do you want to say, Stephen? Good morning, sir.
Well,
that gentleman who was on the dealer, I mean, David. I don't know if you checked that he actually represented a dealer, but I can tell you this, I got my first portability car.
He's a car salesman. He can't have lied, can he?
No, I'm going to tell you, Nick. I applied for a motability. I got it last year, the higher rate. It took me 5 years to get it. Anyway, I looked at the Mercedes GLA and the Mercedes in Glasgow. It's a £4,300 deposit for a GLA.
Right.
The reason I looked at it was size, access, and it was automatic.
Right.
I didn't eventually go for it. Anyway, that's one thing.
Okay.
He claimed that 90% of it is fraudulent. How does he know that?
Well,
how does he know who drives the car? He doesn't.
Okay.
5%.
That was
sorry,
based...
one more thing, Nick, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
5% of the marks leased are premium marks. The guy was talking through. I don't want to say what he was talking through, but I'm fuming about it.
Okay. How do you know that it's only 5% of premium mark cars?
Because it's the data's on. I mean, I've looked at people on the internet giving the data out.
Right.
Look, the Guardian refers to Nick. This is one of the problems I have with LBC. You could go on the Motability website now and check out the numbers.
What?
You could select a vehicle and see how much it costs. I give up the entirety of the high rate Motability, the entirety, and it is around £300 a month, and it is a good deal, no doubt about it. But to be honest, I find what the dealer was saying is absolutely not. One other thing, I'll just tell you.
You do accept there will be some abuse, though.
I accept that there is, but I think it's relatively small. I don't know that because I'm not got the statistics.
No, okay.
But I was just going to say to you,
Be able to get statistics for something. How would you ever definitively get a figure for a level of abuse? I don't see how it's doable, in all honesty.
Right. I was going to say to you,
yes, sir.
I spoke to the Motability people last year.
Right.
And they track some of these vehicles, if not all of them. And they identify people who are abusing them, using them as taxis or whatever, right? So, anyway, I just want to say in perspective, 5% of the vehicles leased are Motability. If he's saying there's 90% of those are fraud, something's wrong with the system. I really don't believe it. I'll tell you this, my hips are bust. I've been waiting years to have them fixed.
Right.
And I'm glad I've got a Motability vehicle. It's made a big difference to my life. I think people should hear that. It makes a huge difference to people.
Well, I'm glad that it works for you. And no one will ever know, if you think about it, the true level of fraud that goes on there. But I'm very glad that you made your point, and have yourself a good day. Thank you. So we get out of the car and we bound onto the heath and go walking with dogs. Michael's in Basildon. This is a woman who got fined and she's not actually committed any crime. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, what it is, I used to work for my local council as an environmental enforcement officer. If we were specialised in that, we were police accredited, but to have... I'm quite shocked, to be honest. It's like...
Sorry, what are you shocked about?
Well, did she actually get, like, charged for not having let's call it
a poo bag. Yes,
yeah,
she did. Yes.
Yeah. See, I don't know if the law's changed, but when I used to do it, you didn't do anything like that until the actual offence was committed.
Well,
if I went back to my supervisor and I told that to him, I would probably be pulled into the office.
Well, this is what I find surprising. So the Daily Telegraph have spoken with West Northamptonshire Council, and they say that they have bylaws with the provision under the Public Space Protection Order, and I'm quoting now, which received widespread support from local residents, that they do have the powers to fine you. Even if your dog does not foul, they have powers to fine you if you don't have a bag. I mean, the other thing is, if it was me, I would say, yes, I did come out, and unfortunately my dog, who I'm going to call, I don't know, Poppy, Poppy did do a poop. And when Poppy pooped, I put it in, and I haven't got a poop bag for Poppy.
Right, yeah.
And what are you going to say to me then? You're going to say, well, nothing I can do.
That's an offence.
Well, no, he's already... No, she
if
went.
Dog,
she went already.
Right, yeah. If your dog... If you haven't got a bag or anything to pick it up, then, see, it works under PACE regulations.
PACE.
Which is actually a criminal... PACE.
Oh, PACE. Yeah. I remember PACE, yeah.
So, yes, it's the same regulation now. The offence is committed if they don't pick the dog foul up.
No, but hold on. So, West Northamptonshire requires you to come out with one bag. So, I go out, it's a long walk, it's a very long walk, and the dog hadn't been out for a while. So, yeah, the dog pooped almost the minute we got to the heath, and so I took care of it. And now I'm almost home, and the dog's gone again. it's not my fault that the dog's gone to the toilet twice.
Right, well, then if she's gone twice, then she should have another bag.
Well, what if she goes five times? She's not well.
Well, then she has to have five bags. That's the law, Nick. That's the law. But I know exactly what you're saying, but that is the law. The offence is the dog that's failing and... Sorry,
lastly on this, Michael, the dog didn't foul. This would be like a police officer. I'm sitting in my car, and he knocks on the or she. They knock on the glass and say, "You're not wearing your seatbelt. I'm fining you." And I said, "Well, hang on, I haven't started driving yet." Yeah, but I know you're not going to wear your seatbelt. No, I have to commit the offence first. Surely,
you're absolutely right there. From my training and what I had, if the dog hasn't fouled, then there's no offence.
Right. So I think we're mostly on the same page about pace here. Michael, thank you for all your input on that. I'm only going because, and I appreciate your training and your work in that field, literally at times, but I'm getting other callers in as well. Mark is in Wandsworth. Do you support the council or the woman? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I support the council, definitely.
What's the crime she's committed?
Right. To use your analogy that you used earlier about being in the car.
Yeah.
There are prerequisites for driving vehicles. Mm-hmm. Those prerequisites are that your car is safe, it has an MOT, mm-hmm. you are insured, mm-hmm. it's taxed. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are stopped with your vehicle and you have not fulfilled any of those prerequisites, there's no argument for, I might speed.
Hold on.
The prerequisite for walking a dog is that you're carrying poop bags.
Hold on. I'm sitting in my car and I'm not moving. I'm stationary and I haven't put my seatbelt on. The police officer says, "I'm going to do you because I don't think you're going to wear your seatbelt." That would never fly.
It's not the same argument, though.
But this woman has committed no offence, apart from a bylaw in West Northamptonshire that you have to carry a bag. And what happens if the dog has already been?
But it is a bylaw.
I'm allowed to argue with a bylaw.
Of course, anybody's allowed to argue with any law. It's why we have the court system and why we have common law in the UK.
Mm.
But there is a law in place. Going back to the car thing, you are absolutely right. The police would have no right to say to you, "Well, you're not driving, you're not wearing a seatbelt." But they would be allowed to report you for not having working seatbelts in the car.
Yeah,
they would be able to report you for that. And it's exactly the same thing. Not having poop bags with you, you have committed the offence.
But how many bags do I need?
Well, I mean, that comes down to a principle, and I do believe, and I'm going to say this as well, Nick, it's very rare. I can't believe the first call I've ever made to LBC, I'm on an opposing point to you. I listen to them all, and that's, you know, not trying to pay lip service. I listen every morning. I feel there should be more common sense.
Right.
I truly believe 90% of the time I find myself siding with you. And the one time I've thought to actually pick up the phone and call is on an incident where I'm actually taking a different position to.
And that's why we've had such a good conversation, and it's the last of the day. Safe dog walking if you're doing it, Mark. Apologies to Tom, to Malcolm, to Keith and others, but I'm done for another day. If you missed the show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. You can read and watch the latest from LBC. Put your news categories in the order you want. Pause and rewind live radio and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the all-new official LBC app for free from your app store now. James O'Brien's the other side of the news on LBC. I'm back with you, of course, tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Be still, my authoritarian heart. I'd send her to jail. Absolutely outrageous behaviour, taking the dog for a walk without the correct accoutrements. Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock and it's Thursday, so there must be another cabinet minister on the hook for property problems, shall we say. The Daily Mail has discovered that Rachel Reeves, or possibly the people that she has paid to take care of such matters, have not taken care of the £900 licence that she should have in order to rent out the family home. There's a danger of footballification. Of course there is. If only they could all move into the garden of a friendly billionaire, rent-free, as Boris Johnson did after leaving Downing Street, they wouldn't have these problems. But in this case, how big is the problem for you?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, Sakir Starmer has ruled out an investigation into Rachel Reeves' breaking of local housing rules. The Chancellor's admitted she didn't obtain the required selective rental licence for her home in South London last year. The Prime Minister's backed her after consulting his ethics advisor. Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch has told supporters this morning that it's more mess from Labour.
Just this morning, we've seen the news. Rachel Reeves apparently has broken a law, just like Angela Rayner before her and Louise Blahague before her. All we see is the Labour cabinet making mistakes, breaking laws. If the Chancellor can't even get it on top of her own paperwork, how is she going to get on top of the country's paperwork?
And Kemi Badenoch will be taking your calls with Ian Dale on LBC this evening from 7. LBC has learned a leading online pharmacy allowed a severely anorexic woman to buy weight loss jabs. Newman didn't stop the prescription even after the woman's mother asked them to. Helen Hoddenott has the exclusive story.
Caitlin is in her 20s and has been suffering with anorexia for over a decade, leaving her mum, Debbie, fearing for her life. We've changed the names and voices to protect their anonymity.
I've been told by every practitioner that works with her that she is at serious risk of death.
Caitlin managed to buy Wegovy online by using an AI-generated image, despite a requirement for robust checks to be in place for providers selling high-risk drugs. And Newman only agreed to terminate the prescription when LBC got in touch. The company's apologised and says it'll bring in extra verification tools to avoid a repeat.
Five more people have been arrested in the investigation into the heist at the Louvre. The Paris prosecutor says they were detained in the city last night. The crown jewels taken earlier this month remain missing. Donald Trump says he will cut tariffs on goods from China by 10% following his meeting with President Xi in South Korea. It's an easing of trade tensions between the world's two largest economies. Beijing has agreed to allow the export of rare earth elements. A new study suggests prostate cancer screening can reduce deaths by 13%. The idea is being considered in the UK, with a decision expected before the end of the year. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 55 points at 9,700, and the pound buys $1.31 and €1.13. LBC weather, a dry, bright but chilly morning for many, becoming wet and windy and cloudier from the west later, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Simon Conway.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Quite a lot to get through today, including a visit to the studio by a gentleman who is rather prominent in the news at the moment. I wonder if you can guess who it is. I'll tell you later. I'm almost tempted to go back to that story that Nick was discussing. It's not exactly in the deep end of current affairs when you look at some of the stuff particularly that's happening in America at the moment, but you can't exist on a diet of heavy fodder. It's not even a phrase. You cannot exist on a diet of seriousness alone. We all need to have our diet leavened slightly by levity, don't we? But I don't know. Stay tuned to find out whether we return to dog poo bag gate later in the show. I have got a roundup. I'm going to try and do it without Simon Marks's help today, because the three or four stories that have emerged across the Atlantic in the last 24 hours are arguably even more troubling than the three or four that emerged yesterday and the day before and the day before that. Let me run one by you before we get stuck into the conversation of the day. If there are terrorists in your country, or if somebody, for example, turns up at the home of a prominent politician with weapons, and two prosecutors, state prosecutors, government prosecutors, federal prosecutors, are very keen to bring that person to trial. If Two state prosecutors think that a man who turned up at the home, say, of a former president in possession of two guns, hundreds of rounds of ammunition and a machete, who do you think should be punished? The state prosecutors that want to bring him to trial, or the man, arguably a terrorist, who turned up at the home of a former president of the United States in possession of two guns and hundreds of rounds of ammunition as well as a machete at an address that had shortly before been posted by the current president of the United States of America on social media? I'm not even exaggerating. I think you owe it to yourself to stay tuned to find out a little bit more about that story. I've got a magnificent example of media bias, misinformation, call it whatever you will, involving a man who cannot be reported honestly by almost all of the UK media because he's heavily involved in the phone hacking case. And that is something for which you can never be forgiven by Fleet Street, even if you are, a very senior member of the royal family. And indeed, my guest later in the programme is somebody whose activities will never be fairly or honestly reported by the British media because he is also very heavily involved in the phone hacking cases. I'll give you another little clue. It's not Hugh Grant. You've probably worked it out by now. Okay. Did you know that the morning after the European Union referendum, the morning after Brexit, one of the most Googled terms in the United Kingdom was what is the European Union, or what does leaving the European Union mean? One of my colleagues on the sort of online side of LBC, which is now, I think, by far the biggest department in the building, absolutely dominating everything. I've got more staff than, Sainsbury's. He tells me that this morning lots of people, well, pretty much every landlord in the country is Googling. I'll tell you how much staff they've got on the online department, almost as much as the news agents. It's absolutely extraordinary. You should see the birthday present. You have a whip round on this show. Keith puts a button in the tin and rattles it to make it sound like lots of coins. Eleanor asks to borrow a fiver off me. And Rebecca very generously puts in as much as she can afford. Obviously, if I'm getting a present for the team, I might slip a 50 into the envelope. But goodness me, the presents you get if you work on the newsagents or the online side of LBC are absolutely extraordinary. You'd only have to take a pound off everybody and you'd have enough to buy a hamper from Fortnum and Mason's. But anyway, I digress. That's a little bit of radio there designed entirely for the amusement of people sitting upstairs from this studio and absolutely pointless for absolutely everybody else tuned in. So 1.396777 million people wondering what the hell I'm talking about, which means it must be 8 minutes after 10 on a Thursday morning. Because what I am talking about is the number of landlords this morning who have Googled, do I need a license for my home? And is that the sound of footballification that I hear coming over the hill? Because I don't know. I'm pretty sure this is not a very big deal. But I could be wrong. In the immediate moment of the Angela Rayner story breaking, and it broke when I was on holiday, so I give myself a little bit of leeway to have been a bit wrong about that. But as soon as I was across the facts, I arrived at the conclusion that the Prime Minister's Ethics Advisor arrived at long before the Prime Minister's Ethics Advisor arrived at it, which was that it is clear that you should have got more advice from more qualified people about this quite, is recondite the right word? This quite complicated element of property law. You should have got better advice from somebody very specifically qualified in this area of property law. And while that might be forgivable for an ordinary mortal, it is not forgivable for a deputy prime minister who is required to abide by a very tightly codified code of conduct. So I just remind you, in case that is the trumpet of footballification that we hear popping in the distance, I remind you that I was